It's Friday, you bastards.
I know you don't smoke weed. I know this. But I'm gonna get you high today. Cause it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
Thank God it's Friday.
I'm telling you, this is what people from Iraq and Talibanistan do. They hide out in neighborhoods like Lanford. Don't you watch the news? You don't mean the news, you mean Fox News. And...
Before we show you this photo, please know it's real. We checked it so many times because we thought this has to be fake. But today, on her way to show that she cares, Melania wore a jacket that says, I really don't care, do you? That's what they settled on?
With the 9th pick in the 2018 NBA Draft, the New York Knicks select Kevin Knox from the University of Kentucky.
I mean, they booed Porzingis, and look where he's at now. So that's kind of the same mindset I'm going to have. They can chant Michael Porter all they want, but, I mean, they got Kevin Knox, and I'm willing to work. I'm willing to get better.
Pitts swung on and hit in the air down the right field line. Gamble to the wall. She is gone! There's another extra base hit. Miguel Andujar goes the opposite way. Homers into the right field seats. And the Yankees now take a 4-0 lead.
Now the pitch. Swung on and missed strike three. Got him with a fastball. And the ball game is over. Colorado Rockies have taken 3 out of 4 from the Mets here in Denver, as the Mets will come home having lost 7 out of 10 on this long road trip.
I do feel for Leo Messi, who's very much in the shadow of Cristiano Ronaldo right now. He keeps scoring goals for Portugal, while Messi is, I don't know what's happening to him right now. He's not playing great football. He's getting no service, mind you, from his teammates. His head's down. He looks stressed at times. It's been an absolute nightmare so far for Argentina.
It won't be easy. You'll think it's strange when I try to explain how I feel, that I still after all that I've done. You won't believe me. All you will see is a girl you once knew, although she's dressed up to the nines at sixes and sevens with you.
The classic Don't Cry For Me, Argentina. Madonna, of course, one of the great roles that she played, singing Don't Cry For Me, Argentina. So much going on in the world, the immigration stuff, Donald Trump, and politics and news. But just for me, as we start another great edition of the Bernie and Sid Show on a Friday, these two games by Argentina in the World Cup. A 1-1 tie against Iceland and getting taken to the woodshed. A 3-0 loss to Croatia yesterday, and not one goal for Messi is a huge story around the world as Ronaldo continues to score goals for Portugal. 4 now in 2 games. The man they call the GOAT, the greatest of all time, Messi, has been shut out. And quite frankly, he's on a milk carton. Missing. Where is Messi, Bernard McGurk? Where is Messi?
I'm not sure, yeah. Sid, but is anybody actually looking for him?
Well, I would imagine the whole country of Argentina.
They're completely out now.
No, they haven't been eliminated yet because they did get 1 point in the tie against Iceland. Like Peru, they're gone. Peru lost again yesterday. They're 0-2. They've been eliminated, but Argentina, I think, is still around, although on their last leg. They may have to win this third game just to make it to the next level, I think.
A country like Iceland, which has about 1,500 people, to beat a superstar team like Argentina, I mean, that's a big deal, right?
Right. Well, they tied them. They didn't beat them.
Oh, they beat, okay.
Yesterday, Croatia killed them. In fact, Iceland plays the middle game today against Nigeria. But the fact that Croatia beat them and beat them not badly, 3-0, that is a huge story in the world of sports. And, of course, when you talk World Cup, that's a huge story around the world.
Are you saddened by this turn of events.
You know, I will say this.
You were rooting for Argentina?
No, but it's been two consecutive lousy efforts in World Cup play, and I appreciate greatness, whether I'm watching Wayne Gretzky on the ice, LeBron James on the basketball court, Barry Bonds at the plate. I like to see guys who have had great careers, consider one of the all-time greats, step up in big spots. So I was hoping to see something special, like I've seen out of Ronaldo with Portugal, Harry Kane with England. I was hoping to see that with Messi and Argentina. So I'm not an Argentina fan.
Well, I'm glad to hear
but it's disappointing.
Because I would have burst your bubble here momentarily.
About the Jews?
The Nazis, that was their biggest haven, was Argentina. Of all of South America, which Chile, Brazil was guilty of it, but Argentina the most, Adolf Eichmann, Mengele. Yeah.
Meantime, I've got a ton of relatives that live right now as we speak from the Lizogorsky family, very Jewish, in Argentina. Tons. So I guess they must have found a way to mingle or coexist because my family is still there in Argentina. But I have no rooting interest other than I want to see great players
I'm just trying to round it out for you.
No, I got you.
Give you a little historical perspective. Make sure you don't do the wrong thing.
No, of course not. I want to see great players play great, and he has not done that. So
I'm very sad. Saddened by that.
No,
but
you're not.
We have Ronaldo.
We do have Ronaldo,
He's a good guy.
He's good looking.
And
looks great in a pair of underwear.
He's making it exciting.
He's making it exciting.
He's got a bulge in the onion bag.
Yes, he does.
Oh, he does.
For sure. Yes, he does. Brazil is back in action today. They were also disappointing their first game. They tied Switzerland. So you get Brazil taking on Costa Rica in about 2 hours. Then you get Nigeria taking on Iceland. And then the last game today, Serbia will take on Switzerland. The Knicks get their guy. You got the baseball. But, I mean, I guess, Bernie, as you get set this afternoon, if you haven't seen this yet, I urge and compel all of you to watch this because Bernie is not good on this. He's great on this. Coming up at noon this afternoon on Fox News, one of their best shows. Really, one of their best shows. Bernie on Outnumbered coming up at noon.
Hey, Bernie.
There you go, Bernie.
That's very nice of you, Sydney. Thank you.
And you'll be talking about Melania's stupid jacket.
I would imagine that would be one of the topics at some point. Sure, yeah.
So you're going to tell me that all these ladies who I love and respect, all of them from Harris Faulkner on down, are going to try to make an argument that what she wore yesterday was okay and not stupid?
I don't think so.
Okay,
I don't think you're going to hear that. I mean, I've already heard people on Fox call it a forced error and stuff like that.
That's good. I like forced error.
Yeah. So, no, they're not. I mean, it was bizarre. That's for sure. There's no question about that. But, you know, listen, first let me just say this. The first lady has been the victim of some really, really unspeakable cruelty recently. Some very, very unfair treatment. Of course, she was in the hospital for a week. Nobody cut her any slack. She's been through a lot. If she's cracking under the pressure, I would understand. Maybe she's melting down. I don't know. Or maybe this is one of the, you ever wear, anybody ever put like a kick me sign on your back?
Yes.
Maybe they put the jacket on and nobody told her what was on, right? And she's walking up and she has no clue what's on her back. That's probably not the case.
No.
But
we can hope.
I don't know. I would have went with something like, you know, Peter Fonda's a dick.
Right.
Or, you know, Hillary for prison or something like that.
Robert De Niro.
I don't care was kind of strange.
It was strange because the whole mission yesterday in McAllen, Texas, was all about showing how much she cares. So.
Yeah, and she did, by all accounts, did a very admirable job asking questions, taking tours and stuff. And by the way, that facility in McAllen, Texas, not to me anyway, from what the accounts I used to see on the history shows, didn't look a thing like Auschwitz.
No, it didn't. But some of these kids now are claiming abuse in these detention centers, and man, it just gets uglier every single day. Every day. Is another story about another kid who's going through some horrible trauma in these detention centers.
Terrible.
Then you get Cynthia Nixon, who really is a douchebag, by the way. She's on The View yesterday and starts talking about ICE. And then after The View, later in the day, goes on and says that ICE is basically, at this point, has become a terrorist organization.
I've heard that. I've heard Nazi. They're not like Nazi agents and stuff like that. Well, she's, I mean, she, this one is a complete wackadoo.
Oh, God.
Again, I've said this before. She makes Liz Warren sound like, I don't know, the Iron Lady, Margaret Thatcher.
Forget about Liz Warren. She actually makes, and this is bad for her, Andrew Cuomo look credible.
Oh, yeah.
And she's running against him.
and by the way, she is the a product of the de Blasio machine.
Yeah.
And he is now down there exploiting this issue for some photo op, whatever it is. So, you know... You know, they jumped the shark, I think, at least on the left, with their criticism. When Mayor de Blasio is at the fence taking photos,
looking like
a moron, a total. He wanted to beat Cuomo down there. I think Cuomo has plans to go down himself and do the same thing. But when you got Mayor de Blasio down there posing for pictures along the fence, I just think, okay, next week, we've exhausted this one for this news cycle this week. Something will pop up over the weekend, and they're already reuniting a kid. 500 kids, according to AP, have been reunited with their parents out of the 2,000, and now it's time to move on.
Yeah, let's talk about the Knicks. We actually had our intrepid reporter, Matt Meany, outside of the Barclays Center in Brooklyn yesterday, talking to the fans right before the Knicks selected Kevin Knox out of Kentucky with the number 9 pick overall. We'll play that in the 8 o'clock hour, and we'll talk more about the Knickerbocker draft choice from last night. So a lot to do today. Three great guests, as always in this hour, Chuck Todd on a Friday, author James Patterson. He's got the new book out with Bill Clinton. He'll join us in the 8 o'clock hour and live from Berlin, Germany, where tonight will catch the Rolling Stones and tomorrow watch World Cup Germany soccer, famed defense attorney Arthur Idala. So big show coming up, 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Bernie and Sid on a summer Friday. We'll be right back.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Entertainment news now.
I'm Juliet. Here's your entertainment. Thoroughly heartbreaking days for the family of the late designer Kate Spade. Her 89-year-old father, Earl, passed away Wednesday night. It was just the night before her funeral. Spade was, of course, found dead back in her New York City home on June 5th. She had hung herself. Family members say her dad had been sick for some time, but the suicide understandably sent him over the edge health-wise. In a statement, it was said he was, quote, heartbroken over the recent death of his beloved daughter. And much to Sid's dismay, and I think we need to start taking wagers on this as to whether or not this is going to be a success or not, the Roseanne reboot is about to get rebooted. We all know by now why it was canceled, I think. The show was a hit. She sent out a racist tweet. She got fired. Show was canceled. Lots of innocent people lost their jobs. America revolted. Other actors said, hey, wait, we're not racist. New show was pitched. So, according to The Hollywood Reporter, it will be the same reboot cast, same crew. It'll now be called The Conners. That's at least what the working title is for now, which seems to make sense. We're looking at 10 episodes. It'll follow the Conner family, who, after what's being called a sudden turn of events, Roseanne joining the circus, the ministry, a death metal band, the family is forced to face the daily struggles of life as they never have before. Former executive producer Whitney Cummings, who quit the show before any of the public drama started, told TMZ folks this.
But maybe they can salvage the legacy in some way, but if it benefits her financially...
it's a bad move, right?
Yeah, it's a bad move.
Well, but it sounds as though Roseanne did get a settlement of some sort. No word how much. It's probably hefty, though. But at this point on, ABC is stressing that she will have no financial or creative involvement whatsoever. But... she will retain all rights to her Roseanne Conner character and any other future spinoffs beyond the Conners or any future reboots of the original, which kind of sounds like she's never going to get another dime. But there will be some new cast members added to the mix. No premiere date yet. Coming up at 7:30, the death of one of the most brilliant, elegant men to ever grace our TV screens. I'm Juliet. That's entertainment.
Friday morning, you know you're going to get Chuck Todd coming up, the host of MTP Daily on MSNBC. And, of course, if it's Sunday, it's Meet the Press on NBC. He'll join us in about 15 minutes. So there it is. I know, Bernie, you are a fan, but not a huge fan. Jill, huge fan. Me, huge fan of Roseanne. And it's coming back sans Roseanne. So you have to excuse me if I'm not all that excited about John Goodman and Laurie Metcalf and Sarah Gilbert. There was a reason why it was the Roseanne show, because... she was the star. She was the funniest. She was the best. And I don't know how you take her out of the mix.
She like All in the Family without Carol O'Connor, right. Archie Bunker.
Don't you think so?
Doesn't seem to quite work. But I guess being the cash machine, the cash cow that it was, they're going to go for it anyway.
No, people are going to watch. Probably in big numbers, bud.
They'll watch the first two episodes, and then they'll see it's horrible without her.
Yeah.
And then it'll fail. Then they have to bring her back.
And no, they're not bringing her back.
it's not going to work.
That's never going to happen.
It just won't work.
No.
But, hey, good for it. Go for it. The ABC sucks. It's terrible. Horrendous. Modern Family, Blackish, all these idiotic shows. You can't. It's unwatchable for the most part. So
I don't watch it.
This one is going to be right probably in the same category as that.
No, I think I do watch one show. Isn't the Goldbergs on ABC?
Oh, I love the Goldbergs.
Yeah, I do like that. That's the only show I like, the Goldbergs.
Schmoopy.
Wednesday night.
Yes.
And I came close to watching ABC last night because I watched ESPN.
That's right.
Which is the same company.
The NBA draft. I did tune in a little bit myself.
I got to tell you, this is all I could think about last night as I watched all of these kids who I watched play college ball. DeAndre Ayton, number one to Phoenix. You know, to Jackson, number four to Memphis, to the highest draft choice out of New York City, the big kid who you love, Bamba, going number six to the Orlando Magic. I mean,
how did we not get that kid? Come on.
Because he was too good. We picked number nine.
Oh.
We picked Kevin Knox at number nine. But the point is, kid after kid, from Trae Young walking up there with a pair of shorts to the kid Lonnie Walker out of Miami, whose hair is higher than the observation deck at the Empire State Building, walking down the steps with his parents. That was a new little thing this year, new wrinkle. Players walking out with their moms and dads.
Very nice touch. Very sweet.
They looked like idiots. They looked unlikable. They were dressed stupid. Their outfits were horrible. And don't tell me it's the culture, it's the this, it's the that. Their hair, some of these guys looked ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Get a haircut.
Get a haircut. You're wearing a suit. You're about to be drafted by the NBA. You're about to become a million-dollar ball player. You're not driving in your car with your buddies in Miami with your hair trying to hit a freaking balloon.
Needs a haircut.
You sound like my dad.
I sound like a rational. I mean, it looks terrible.
Get
it
a haircut.
Bad. I don't know. Maybe David Silver, who's about the geekiest, nerdiest white Jew you'll ever meet, he's up there, all 80 pounds of him, and these guys come walking down. He's got to be going, Adam Silver, excuse me, you look ridiculous. Did you see some of that too, Meanie?
Yeah, I did. The one that's going around now is this guy, Lonnie Walker.
Yeah, from Miami. He went to San Antonio. He looked ridiculous.
He's got this, man bun dreadlock thing going on, and they give the players hats of the teams that they get drafted by.
Yeah.
He's wearing his hat.
All the way up in the air.
And it looks like
it's hate man buns on men. Man buns. It's girly. Stop it.
Yeah, but some of these guys, it's not just a man bun. It's like a man bun with dreadlocks, and it's just... They look awful. It looks bad for the league. The kids look stupid. Cut your hair. Put on a nice suit. Get ready to make $1 million and look good.
That's the thing. They are already millionaires. They know it. They've been treated like prima donnas. And, they got a little swag, man. They're coming out.
Maybe nauseous. Maybe I'm getting too old. Or it has nothing to do with white and black. Don't even bother going there.
No. They were white guys like that kid the Nets picked from the Bosnian. From Bosnia, right? Wasn't that kid looking funky?
A lot of those kids looked funky. I don't like tattoos, whether it's Chocolate Thunder, Jason Williams, white kid out of Florida, or the guy Birdman that's now in a 3-on-3 league who played for the Miami Heat all those years. They look dirty and unkempt. Cut your hair. And I know Allen Iverson did it. Dennis Rodman did it. But we got to get to a point where these players look presentable. These are young kids about to embark on their futures, making a ton of money, and they look like a bunch of dicks.
Just doesn't bother me that much.
No, I guess not.
I can't work it.
See, I didn't care about Melania's jacket yesterday. I cared about the NBA kids.
I'm actually kind of surprised at the level of passion you have.
Yeah. Because I'm watching these kids walk down with their parents, and I'm saying, how does this mom go, hey, Lonnie, that's a good look, son. You look great.
Mom's going to get a brand new house.
Yeah, you're right.
And
she don't care.
New car. A couple of Escalades in the driveway. I don't care what Junior's hair looks like or if he's wearing shorts or sneakers or whatever the hell he's doing.
Oh, they look terrible.
Now, do these kids have to do well in their college? Or?
Oh, yes. All of them.
Like grades-wise.
4.0s.
The Knicks picked an 18-year-old kid.
Oh, okay.
18 years old.
He went to Kentucky for 1 year.
What about that? That's more important now. What about the... Young Mr. Knox's education. Is that not important?
No, it's not important.
Of course it's not.
Right.
And by the way, speaking of which, just generally speaking, kids, skip college. Go for the most, forget college. Just go to a trade school. You want to make money like what's his first name? Knox's first name?
Kevin.
Kevin Knox. Go to a trade school.
No, Kevin Knox is 7 feet tall.
I know
with
that.
An 8-foot wingspan. Trade school doesn't teach you that. He was born with the qualities to be an NBA player.
The point is this. He can make the money now. He don't need a stupid, idiotic, nonsensical college education.
I could not disagree more. That's Bernie's take. That's not mine. For some of you, because, quite frankly, you're too stupid, go to Apex, build cars, make some money.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
But you're not going to get a decent job in this country today without going to college. Well, that's not the majority of you. That's the minority.
And you're not
some of you should go.
And you're not going to get a decent job, and you're going to be in deep, deep debt if you do go to college and don't major in the right thing, and if you're not smart.
My plumber, guess how much money he makes a year?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, how much money does he make a year?
$170,000 a
year. Right, of course. And that's just from the plumbing, right? That's not when the potty probably deals or cocaine deals.
And you don't need college.
The book he's got on the weekend.
I don't know.
Kids, do what the Frankie Knox did or whatever. Kevin Knox. Do what he did.
You can't do what he did. You got to be born that way. You keep saying that. You have to be born with an NBA body to make $1 million.
College ain't for everybody.
Right. If you're born with an NBA body, you're guaranteed $1 million.
If you're not going to the Apex school tomorrow, make $1 million. If you're not born with a halfway developed brain, go to trade school.
For the minority out there, yes.
That's what I told my daughter.
Not the majority.
That's what you told your daughter, right?
Well, my son's going to go to...
By the way, that's very good advice. That's who I'm directing this towards.
Yeah, in the meantime, you have two kids that both went to college.
They're so full of it.
You don't want your kids going to a trade school.
What I'm saying to you
is... You don't have a choice, that's one thing.
You want to bring up my kid? My son, he majored in accounting.
Right.
And he landed a job like that. That's what you have to do. It's a difficult, difficult major. You have to pass an unbelievably difficult CPA test.
Yes.
It was very hard.
Yes.
But most kids, they take communications, psychology. They take some liberal arts thing, some gender Afro-Polish studies or whatever the crap.
They're never
going to get a job. And they're in big-time debt because they wanted the college experience.
Well, I think that they should probably try to figure out somewhere along the line, to your point, what they really want to do.
Yes, one of the STEM majors. That's the only thing where you the only area you're going to make money in. That's it. The rest of that stuff there, unless dad has a job lined up for you.
Well, how do you think you're going to medical?
You're going to be in limbo.
Wait a second. How do you think you're going to go to medical school?
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that's what I'm trying to tell you.
The STEM majors, yes.
Right.
But the vast majority of majors out there that these kids are going to these state schools, the stuff they're taking, they're going to end up in debt and no job.
I still think the college experience is important. I do. And if my kid is not the smartest kid in the class, and they got to pay back loans over the years, no different than a mortgage or a car payment, I think every kid, unless they're a complete moron or on the way to prison, should have that college experience.
That's very, very nice of you. But I'm trying to give them some tough love. Go out there, go to trade school, and make money.
If you had one kid who went to trade school, I would buy your argument. Listen, you had two kids. You had two college graduations.
I had a brother. My brother went to trade school. He's a screw-up. He's a total screw-up, my brother.
Right.
Has been his whole life, or used to be. I haven't spoken to him in 10 years.
Right.
But he was never without a job.
Okay.
Never without a job because he was a machinist.
Right.
And machinists are in short supply. Nobody knows how to do machine shop work. He did it, and he always had a good job. And I had another friend, the same thing. He went to the same trade school, high school. And he learned how to repair boilers. And he was another screw-up. He even lived in his boiler repair van.
Right.
But he always had a job, and to this day, still always
has a job. But in both of those cases, those guys were screw-ups. That's the point. If you're a screw-up, that's not the majority of people. That's the minority.
That's exactly the point. But you don't have to be a screw-up. If you're taking stupid majors, which is the majority of majors offered to kids in college, you're making a mistake. And that's my advice to all you kids out there who are just graduating high school.
Okay. I say, find what you want to do, take classes that are important, and go to college. Go to college, because at the end of the day, the big-time salaries are those guys, not Joe's plumber.
And I took communications, a total waste of a major.
What do you mean? You're a communications.
I know, but I should have majored in something else and then went into communications.
See, my story, I majored in accounting, and I'm in communications. You majored in communications, you're in communications.
That's right.
So if you want...
I got very lucky. Very lucky. I really did. I latched on. I was in the business, and then I latched on to Imus, and I stood here.
You didn't get lucky. You've got talent, son. Great talent.
I still wish I had majored in even literature or something like that, or something else.
Yeah.
But anyway.
We got to talk to Chuck Todd.
Kevin Knox, right?
Chuck Todd went to college. We'll talk to him right after these words. The most recognizable theme song on television for the longest running show on television. If it's Sunday, it's Meet the Press.
That is class. I mean, we should run this through the whole interview.
It's so good. So good. And, of course, our dear friend Chuck Todd doing a fantastic job for many years, not just on Sundays, but every single day at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on MTP Daily on MSNBC. Joining us as he does each and every Friday at this time, our great friend Chuck Todd. Good morning, Chuck. How are you?
Yo, Chuck.
Morning, boys. I think some of your listeners would rather hear the music.
Oh, I guess you see the tweets, huh? Hey, Chuck, listen, F them. Who cares?
Anymore, man.
Yeah, I don't blame you. F them. Hey, listen, one of the reasons why we became so friendly was beyond the politics and all that is your fervor, your enthusiasm for sports. And many times on Meet the Press, Chuck, you'll find a way to include some of the big stories. Certainly World Cup is worthy of a spot on any Meet the Press show. So what's the biggest story for Chuck Todd, World Cup soccer? Is it Messi being shut out for Argentina, or is it women at an Iran soccer game?
I was just going to say, if you're gonna make me pick, I'd say women at an Iranian soccer game. Like that's probably been the nicest moment so far, and a reminder of who Iran is as a country.
So if you're out there and you liked the deal that Obama and Kerry put together, or forget about that, when you see that, does that make the average person want Donald Trump to try to get something done more for the people of Iran?
I think it's a reminder of what we're dealing with there, right? With all of with Iran. I think it's been frustrating to a lot of people that, you know, American leaders, and frankly, it's been something that's on both sides, pick and choose when human rights matter, right? When they cut deals, they pick and choose which countries they want to hold accountable on human rights, and then other countries less so. I get where you're going with Iran, and somebody will equally say, well, what about Saudi Arabia, right? The fact is, the entire Middle East, the entire Muslim community, their treatment of women is something that I don't understand why it isn't more offensive to more American political leaders.
But you would agree that the Iranian population is, generally speaking, Chuck Todd, more progressive than the people who govern them. I mean,
100%. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. This is when, you know, the Iranian people ever overthrow their religious dictators. I don't know what else to call these mullahs, but they're dictators using religion as an excuse to be a dictator. Iran is going to be the next India or China, you know, yeah. This is a well-educated population. This is unlike Saudi Arabia does not have a very well-educated population. Iran has a very, this is a country that was pretty westernized for a while, wants to be those, and Iranians that live in America, they can't wait to go back. Yeah. You know, this isn't like, our Cuban neighbors in Miami who always claimed they wanted to go back.
Right.
And then, you know, no, they weren't going back.
No, I know. I watched the shots of Iran on Bravo. I know.
That's how you get all your Middle Eastern news. Right?
Hey, listen, always. If Donald Trump could get how to fight a war from you, I can get my Iran stuff from the Bravo channel, okay?
You know what? You're probably already more well-informed than I would even say.
So, Chuck Todd, this has been quite the week. Very emotional, of course. And there's been two competing factions, I guess. It was the ham-handed rollout of Trump's zero tolerance policy, which was implemented last month. But that versus the outrage of what some would say, and myself included, the fake, virtuous, psychotic mob incorporating, you know, media, entertainment, politicians, all that stuff. How does Chuck Todd assess this past momentous week?
Well, I think it's a reminder of why President Trump got elected in some ways, right? And how, while the immigration issue is very powerful as a political rallying cry, particularly right now on the right, and then you have Democrats here who have gotten so consumed in identity politics that I think at least the Democratic leaders, have forgotten how potent the border issue is with voters. It's not just something that's isolated to Donald Trump's base. And so I do think the fervor, particularly, you know, the folks that sort of represent the sort of extreme, faces of this political debate, that isn't where most of America is, but I think that too many Democratic leaders don't realize that people want borders. People want, they want some security down there. I think folks on the right, use the A word too often when I mean, meaning amnesty. Not everything is amnesty. And if you keep using that, then we're just going to be in this political war and never even have an opportunity to fix this. So I think that this week was a reminder why we haven't gotten anything done. And I think it's a reminder why President Trump is not going to be the guy to do it on immigration. I think he's just not wired to do what it takes to sort of be Nixon to China on this issue.
Well, I thought Paul Ryan was very good yesterday when he spoke about it and said basically he may not be the guy to do it, but it's not only because of him. When you hear something...
I totally agree.
Right,
you know what's happened every time? Every time. I wrote about it in my book in 2010 when Republicans were ready to cut a deal with Obama. Chuck Schumer walked away because he wanted the issue. And then in 2013, John Boehner walked away. Why? He was afraid of the issue for his political primaries. Everybody walks away because of their fear of a November election, and it just bites them down the road.
But it gets really, when you're talking about kids, right, and we all assume right. That we all love kids. So when you hear somebody say, these folks on the left, Chuck Todd, they don't care about the kids. It's all about the issue. Is that unfair? Is that accurate? Because, by the way, if that's accurate, that is a very, very ugly test for the left.
No, and this is what drives me nuts. It's like the accusation that the other side's motives are evil, rather than say that your opponent might be misguided. All right, you understand they're passionate about an issue, but here, this is why they're misguided. Look, if we're going to sit here and insult each other to death and say, you know what? No, you're for torturing kids. No, you're for sending them to camp. You don't care about them. You're using them for a political shield. You don't care about them. You're just using, then, yeah, we're not going to get anything done, and it's going to look ridiculous in sort of the way our political debate looks. I mean, the fact is, this assumption that nobody cares about kids on either side of this is that's if we've deteriorated that far, we've got a long way to go.
Well, just one more on the immigration thing, the illegal immigration. Chuck Todd on the Bernie and Sid Show, Well, the fact that it occurred under the Obama administration, and then when the pictures came out now, and some of which those pictures were from back then it was all of a sudden today, now under Trump, it was a Nazi policy. The Trump was a Nazi, and they had concentration camp comparisons, which, I don't know, I find kind of offensive. What about, I mean, that type of double standard?
Well, look, I here's the thing. You're referring to, I think it's Michael Hayden and a handful of other people. I don't know why anybody goes to Nazi imagery. I mean, there is that rule. The minute you're talking about Nazis, you're losing an argument, right? If you have to use, some sort of Nazi symbolism to make a point, you've lost the argument, right? It's because you don't have an intellectual reason to defend yourself on this. So look,
and
by the way, you know, what is interesting, the difference in media coverage this time is television. In fairness to the print side of things, Obama got a lot of bad coverage on this, and in fact, he regularly got protested. His fundraisers would be interrupted by Latino activists on the left who thought his policies were over the top, which frankly is why I think now Democratic leaders are so scared to say anything. They're now scared, I think, for any small border security, all because of those moments a few years ago.
All right, we got to run. By the way, the Big Mammy Hurricane fan that you are, Lonnie Walker looked ridiculous last night. Cut your hair. I mean, what the hell was that?
By the way, the whole draft, right? It becomes this weird fashion show that, I don't know.
Weird. You're being nice when you say weird, Chuck. I started off today's program, and I said it made me nauseous.
Sid, you do any more, and then your Twitter's going to light up. I'm out.
Already done. Hey, Chuck Todd from Meet the Press. Listen, thank you. We'll watch you on Sunday.
Great job, Chuck. Thank you. Thank you. Boy, he's so right. You see, he knows. You do anymore, and I've already been Bob Mantz, Bob Blitz.
It's already out there.
Of course, Sid's nauseous. We'll take a short break. That's only 1 hour. What a great show today. More of Bernie and Sid on a Friday coming right back.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
A company always on the run. A destiny. Oh, it's the rising sun. I was born a shotgun in my hands. Behind the gun, I'll make my final stand. Yeah, and that's why they call me.
Friday, you ready to party like a rock star? Like,
oh man,
Five Finger Death Punch with this incredible remake of Bad Company.
I want to stomp on somebody right now.
My man, welcome back to the Bernie and Sid Show, 7:09 on this Getaway Friday. It's summer, folks. Don't forget, a week from today, you can join us at the brand new, gorgeous, $500 million Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Atlantic City. Bernie and I will come live next Thursday and Friday with a bunch of big-name guests. Everybody from Jamie Foxx to Carrie Underwood, Pitbull, and Governor Chris Christie. That's all next Thursday and Friday from the ritzy and glamorous, brand-new, gorgeous. And we're the only New York station that's going to be there. We are exclusive Bernie and Sid in Atlantic City next Thursday and Friday, which, by the way, brings me to the shore. And before we get back to immigration and the Knicks draft last night and the soccer, Argentina, all that great stuff. I know this didn't break you up last night, Bernie, but it got to me.
Uh-oh.
Mike, the situation.
Real Housewife getting divorced?
Close. Jersey Shore. Oh. Talking about Atlantic City. Mikey, the situation, Bernard, got engaged last night.
Wow.
Isn't that unbelievable?
He can't even spell engagement.
No, he can't.
You going to marry me or what?
Yo, bro.
We'll see how good your spelling is coming up at 9 o'clock against Bill Evans, but I get your point.
No, he's God bless. Isn't he supposed to be going to jail or something?
Well, he's probably not going to go to jail, but he's got tax issues. And he did, in fact, start this season talking to his lawyers. But here's a clip from last night. You know, he's at a restaurant in Miami with his fiancée-to-be. And all the guys back at the house, Vinny, Ronnie, Paulie, Snooki.
Sounds like a regular think tank.
Yeah. So they've got the responsibility of dialing up the house. So when he gets back with his girl, it's all ready to go. They got a video plan. They got Paulie playing the music. They got rose petals all over the house. Here's a very anxious and nervous Mikey the situation before the pending engagement.
I think Lauren definitely notices something is up with me. She's known me for over 15 years, and I really don't get nervous. But for this, it's very nerve-wracking to trust all these Guidos with such an important moment in my life.
Yeah! Snooki to the main stage, please. Snooki to the main stage.
There you have it. To trust all these Guidos with this important moment in my life, Bernie. So.
Well, when we were having that discussion about who should and should not go to college, these were the people I had in mind. People like this.
That's funny. And in that respect, you'd be right. And they made a ton of money.
Trade school. I know. Well,
trade school. They
got
lucky.
No, they got lucky. You're right. Exactly. But the trade school, notwithstanding the people, whatever. Anyway, those are the types of people I had in mind, among others.
Right.
You know, college is not for everybody.
What's more pathetic, what those people are, or the fact that a 51-year-old man with two children makes sure that every Thursday night at 8 o'clock, I'm watching MTV?
The latter?
Yep.
Clearly.
Pathetic.
The latter. One who actually, if I may, tries to emulate those people.
A little bit. Hey, by the way, now that you said that, I am actually more GTL, which of course is that phrase, gym tan laundry, yep, that became very popular from the first Jersey Shore, since this is a new one. But I am more GTL than those guys. Now, Mikey got fat. Ronnie got fat. They're not really that. Well, now they're tan. They've been in Miami. But I actually, you could have made the argument a month ago, Sid Rosenberg was more GTL than the stars of the Jersey Shore.
Well, look at you right now.
Yeah.
You're darker than Kevin Knox.
And no, that's no joke.
You're wearing a tight Henley shirt.
Yes, that's I am.
Yep. With, you know, with I mean, I don't know what kind of what you're doing with the muscles, but they're there.
They're there.
And
M-drive.
Got jeans on.
Right.
That little rips in them like the 13-year-old girls that...
My daughter has that.
That are banned. Sure, yeah. They're banned at some grammar schools for these 13-year-old yeah. girls. And so yeah. I would say, yeah, the latter.
Yeah.
The latter is more pathetic.
I wish I could argue.
But you know, it's working for you, though.
Thank you, buddy. You know, it's one thing when you bring on Chuck Todd to talk about immigration. It's another, even when you, Bernard, you're about the smartest at this stuff that I know. And in fact, by the way, folks, you have a chance to watch Bernard do his thing on television today. Coming up at noon, he'll be on Outnumbered on Fox News for a full hour. Bernie on the couch. Unfortunately, not the casting couch with four ladies, but he'll be on the couch.
Naked.
Fox News at noon today. So it's one thing to have Chuck Todd talk about immigration. It's even another to hear Bernard McGuirk. But when you get this guy talking about immigration, you've struck gold.
Mm-hmm.
Fred Schreiber, a.k.a. Elephant Boy, for Howard Stern fans. Good morning, Elephant Boy. How are you?
Hey.
Elephant Boy.
Hey, Dumbo.
Hey, Freddy.
Okay. Okay, Fred,
Well, maybe, you know, he works at a government job in Queens, and sometimes they don't like him when he calls into Stern or to you and I, so he gets into trouble sometimes.
Or maybe he just passed away while he was waiting. He couldn't. You just can't never tell. Anyway, that's poor Elephant Boy.
We can call back. He wanted to talk about Melania's jacket.
You know, well, that's nice. He's,
be very concerned.
I'll tell you what's more outrageous. Everybody, of course, I don't know if they're outraged at Melania's jacket or whatever it is. I'm not, but...
I'm not outraged, but it's so stupid that I'm not going to lie to you, it really did bother me because it's so stupid.
It was unnecessary. It was, right. it was a bit weird.
Does she have a consultant, a fashion consultant, I wonder?
Well, I'm sure she does. Sure, she has somebody assisting her.
It's
but
not even about fashion. It's about the statement. But your husband's taken a beating this week from everybody. Why would you, and even if it is about fake news, why now? What good is that timing? I mean, it was just stupid on every level. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it didn't make sense. It was odd. Let's put it that way. And again, you know, she's been through a lot. I said that before. I want to qualify that she's been through hell. She just had a guy tweet out stuff about ripping her son from her arm and feeding him to pedophiles or whatever.
It's terrible.
All that stuff. So, yeah. But this parole board here in New York State, Governor Cuomo's a personally appointed parole board.
Yeah.
Another cop killer is going to go free.
I'm
a little more upset about that.
I saw that. And by the way, talking about that, the last cop killer he let out, Herman Bell. Herman Bell married this woman about 3 decades ago, had 2 kids while he was in prison.
That's right.
She actually jumped off of the patio at her assisted living home in California a couple of days ago and killed herself.
Yeah.
You saw that? Bell.
That. Yeah, that's terrible. Terrible, of course, when anybody kills themselves. Maybe, well, she was in California, as you pointed out, and he was trying to get out to live in California.
Right.
I don't think there's a connection, but I'm not making a joke.
No, but why'd she marry that guy in the first place? Did it just occur to her that he's a cop killer and a scumbag?
Why was a cop killer allowed to have conjugal visits get married in prison while this poor Mrs. Piagentini is going through hell? Her husband was killed the way he was killed.
Yeah.
And again, Governor Cuomo, he's allowed another cop killer to get out. And he, by the way, Herman Bell, he actually pardoned Herman Bell so he could vote.
That's right.
That was Governor Cuomo. And he's the moderate one.
Right.
Cynthia Nixon, this nut job.
Oh, please.
But this guy is coming out. He killed a cop in 1973. He was jumping a turnstile, and his cop stopped him. By the way, black cop.
Yep.
And he just shot and killed him. And then he went out to kill some other cops. But he's getting out now.
Oh, yeah.
And the wife is still alive, and she's, like, distraught.
Of course.
The son became an NYPD cop, Sidney Thompson. He became an NYPD cop himself. And then when two cops were killed in the 90s and they did not get the death penalty, he quit the force. He said, I'm not staying here in New York anymore. He left. He went to Virginia, where he is a cop now. This is more outrageous to me than Melania's jacket.
I don't know. It's close. I still find myself very upset about the way the NBA players dressed last night. I don't know why, but hey, Elephant Boy, you've got about 2 minutes here. I know you want to rail away. What is
hi,
Freddie.
First of all, my tip is congratulations to your daughter Eva on a question.
Thank you. So very nice. Sweet. You sent a very nice Facebook message. And while you're congratulating me and my daughter Eva, Freddie, you may want to congratulate Jill and her daughter Olivia.
It's the same to you.
Thank you, Elephant
Olivia.
Boy. I appreciate it.
I walked down. She's on her way to success. Met Johnny DeShort.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Hey, the Elephant Boy, my dog's learned to sit this past week. Come on, give me something.
Yeah. Okay, I just want to say after more than a couple of months of listening to you, I will tell your big boys, Chad Lopez and Greg Sharp, not to do nothing with you guys. Pay attention to the rest of this dancing, but don't let them touch you.
Oh, look, and this is a guy, just so you know, that has become a monster superstar, appearing on the Howard Stern, the biggest and best of all time, and he's giving you and I props. He is talking to Chad Lopez and Craig Schwab.
Our bosses, hands off.
I mean, you used to do this stuff with Tom Chiasano.
Yes. I tell Tom the same thing. Let them get their success for them. They just have to do nothing, and they will get success.
Right. Okay, quickly, we got a minute
to go. He's a programming genius.
Yes, he is. We got a minute to go. Quickly, give Bernie and I the your whole thing, immigration thing. Go ahead, fire away.
The immigration thing, like I say, the Democrats argue that instead of the children being in hoarders, they want them to go to jail with their parents. It doesn't make sense.
Well, it doesn't make sense that they want the kids to go to jail. The liberals want that. That's right. In fact, but ironically, Elephant Boy, or not so ironically, hypocritically, I would posit, is that in 2015... the leftist ACLU and other groups, so-called humanitarian groups, they sued so that the kids wouldn't have to go. And that decision of 1997 was upheld. And that's why the kids don't go. That by law, they're not supposed to go to jail with the parents. Now, because Trump implemented this policy and the kids got arrested and separated from their parents, now they're freaking out the other way. So they don't know what they want.
Just go away. Trump arrested Syndrome.
Very good. See, look at this. Look at your career. You've come full circle. Forget about outnumbered today. You just had a legitimate 2-minute back and forth.
That's right.
With Elephant Boy.
And he makes eminent sense.
Right. He's better than Harris Faulkner.
I'm telling you, this guy, he's got to get on NPR or something.
No, right here.
Say whoa.
Sunday morning, I'm telling you, when we get to the point where you and I make so much money for this station, which we're in the middle of doing right now, and we can afford to get rid of some of this awful weekend programming, which they pay for, so I understand why we do it, we're going to put together a panel of listeners, and the host of the show is going to be Elephant Boy.
Can you imagine Elephant Boy on Outnumbered in the middle of the couch?
Yes.
Make it happen. Oh, make it happen.
It should happen.
We got more guests coming your way. Author James Patterson, Arthur Idala, Joseph Abood. He's going to stop by, and more on the Knicks draft choice, Bernie and Sid, on a Friday. Coming right back.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Entertainment news now.
Well, I put this in the entertainment report so I could spend a little bit more time, or we could spend a little bit more time on it. Sad news out of the conservative pundit world, really just out of the pundit world and the world in general. Charles Krauthammer, a legendary conservative columnist and pundit and winner of the Pulitzer Prize for commentary for his Washington Post columns back in 1987, has passed away. We did expect this. He had penned a letter in the Washington Post earlier this month telling folks that his cancer, which he had been battling, had returned and he only had a few weeks to live. Many of us knew him for his political work on Fox News. He was really a mainstay on Special Report. Bernie, I know you watch that show.
I loved Brit this Hume. Man. He was brilliant. He was funny.
He was elegant, witty, and he was dignified.
Brave.
Yeah.
He never complained about what happened to him and what he accomplished after he paralyzed himself by diving into a shallow pool.
Yeah.
What he accomplished was incredible.
Well,
and he never whined about it.
A lot of people didn't, they didn't notice it at first because he was sitting there and he kind of sat in sort of an awkwardish kind of way, but
didn't move his arm.
Yeah, but he, you know, as Bernie said, he dived into a pool. He said he was with a buddy back in college. They were about to play a tennis match, and he said it was hot, so they jumped in a pool before a game. He hit his head at precisely, he says, the angle that would end up paralyzing him, you know, hurting, you know, affecting his spinal cord. He really was just an amazing commentator. The network, Fox News, says it will air a special in his honor tonight. He was also a major baseball fan. And I just like this. They did a really cool, Brett Baer did a really great piece on him a while back. But he told Brett during this interview that he did a while ago that he always, despite the fact that he was at the D.C. Bureau doing the show, the special report show, until 7 o'clock, he always made it to the Nationals home games no matter what. So here's this clip.
Started to do your show every night. You know, it ends at 7. The game starts at 7:10. The garage at Fox is 7 minutes. If the wind is fair in the 3rd Street Tunnel from the garage at Mad Stadium. So I get there in the bottom of the first. I mean, how can I resist?
Crowdhammer.
A local note, he used to summer with his family. He's out in Long Beach.
Did he really?
Yes, he did.
Oh, wow. Oh, man. Crowdhammer leaves a wife and a son, and he was just 68 years old. It's very sad. It's a huge, huge loss because I always just felt like he was very fair. He was very objective. He didn't get emotional, and he was respectful and dignified, and I love that. Anyway, that's entertainment. I'm Juliet Huddy.
I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show. It's a great treat to welcome to my studio two young men who have helped me through the years understand how to talk about sports in America. They are Bernie and Sid, Sid and Bernie. These gentlemen, in the morning in WABC in New York, keep the whole city getting through them.
Thank you, John. That's the great John Batchelor.
That's beautiful.
We were honored earlier this week, Bernie and I, guests on the very, very popular, guys, got one of the most listened to podcasts in the country, I'm not exaggerating, John Batchelor's show. And for a couple of guys that spend a lot of mornings talking about penis and porn and baseball and all things not very important, we did two segments with John Batchelor. One was, do women these days get enough respect? And the second was our feelings on Vietnam.
Vietnam vets that are dying off. Hey, listen, if we have anything close to a Charles Krauthammer here at WABC, it's John Batchelor.
You know what? No, that's a great analogy. That, yes. Yes. That it's a good comparison, I should say.
The guy is as brilliant as Charles Krauthammer was, and he's just not paralyzed. But
he's
been through a lot of adversity, and he's just a genius is what he is.
So, by the way, we're excited. It's a couple of days into summer. Next week, Thursday and Friday, we're going to come live to you from Atlantic City. The weather is great. The Yankees are winning. The Knicks may have gotten a good player last night. There's a lot of nasty stuff going on, but Bernie and I, we're going to look the other way. We're very positive. We're very optimistic. We're happy. But you got to turn to one page. One page in today's New York Post. And if you woke up this morning feeling like the world and New York City is the greatest city in the world and the world is great and it's summer and it's great, I want you, Bernard, right now to turn to page 9 of today's New York Post. There are three stories on page 9 of today's New York Post, and I want you to read.
wait a second. I mean, I left. I haven't looked at it. All I see is blood and carnage, and the word carnage.
Well, give me the three stories on that page. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Okay. Now, this is terrible. This is awful. Yeah. I mean, it is ugly out there. Yeah. You have up in Castle Hill, the Castle Hill houses are the projects up there, not far from my old neighborhood. A Bronx gunman kills three, including one bystander.
It's titled Carnage and Chaos in the Street, and they've got a picture of a dead body face down and blood all over the street.
And
that's
woman,
one story.
A woman screaming over it, you know, in distress.
Well, she's taking pictures.
Well, not this lady's screaming.
Oh, she's screaming. Yeah. Right, right, right.
And then there's another one, the headline, stabbed Bronx teen runs and dies.
15-year-old kid gets attacked by a mob of people. They stab him in the neck.
Outside of a Bronx bodega.
He's able to run one block to the hospital. He gets to the hospital, and then he dies.
And this is up in the Belmont section. Kind of close to Arthur Avenue and where, but
a Bronx tale, basically.
Yeah.
And what's the third story? What's the title of the third story?
Well, this is it just gets worse. Man hacks off pregnant wife's arm.
What?
Yeah. So in this is Brooklyn. Now this is your hood.
Right. So page 9, there you have it. Stabbed Bronx teen runs and dies. Carnage and chaos in the street with an actual picture of a dead guy in blood all over the street, and man hacks off pregnant wife's arm.
Using a steak knife, he severed her right arm at the bicep and two fingers on her left hand.
Yeah.
And a neighbor called the police, found a victim bleeding profusely. She's in critical condition.
Yeah.
And the husband, his name is Young Lou. And that ain't no rapper name. That's his name.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's
Young
yeah.
Lou.
Yeah.
It could easily be, you know, he could easily be, you know, in Jay-Z's posse.
Absolutely.
Yo, I got my boy Young Lou here. Nope, it's
it's not a funny
apparently
story.
Some sort of
but,
Asian name. But, yeah.
Not a funny story, but the truth is that page is the New York City summer, man. I feel like it's back in 1977.
Well, let's continue on, seeing how you brought it up.
All right.
The New York Post.
All right.
An arrest in the Tentacion, the XXX Tentacion, the rapper.
Yeah, the 20-year-old kid who was gunned down outside a BMW dealership in Deerfield Beach, Florida, a couple days ago.
Turns out it was a robbery.
Yes.
A robbery gone wrong. Some tattoo artist was just trying to rip him off, and, well, he put some chrome in his dome.
That's it.
And took him out.
That's it.
And, bye-bye. But here's the sicker part. That was down in Florida.
Right.
By the way, the guy's the gunman's name was Dedrick Williams.
Right. Not Jewish.
Not to be confused with Dead Dick Williams.
Not him.
But here's the thing. Yeah. There's another article underneath that.
Yeah.
Fans of slain rapper XXX Tentacion, they're mimicking his death by uploading pictures of themselves slumped in a car.
Right, as if they got shot.
And they're calling it the XXX Tentacion Challenge.
You can't make it up. You can't make it up.
Are you kidding me?
I actually walked into my living room at about 9:45 last night, and Ava was sitting there, and she watches music videos, Spotify, one of these channels. Uh-huh. And I heard this song. I'd never heard it before. I kind of liked it. And I'm like, hey, Ava, what song is this? And she's like, well, Dad, you know that rapper that got killed down in Florida? I'm like, oh, yeah, I savaged him on the air with Bernie. She's like, well, this is his song. I'm like, oh, yeah, he's kind of good. Now I'm sad.
of course, it's terribly
she's
sad.
She's like, Dad, when he was 15, he got arrested, but he was changing his life, and he was only 20. I'm like, no, I get it. I get it.
Right. See, now you learned, right?
Not really.
You didn't?
No. He would have been a big
trouble. What's the savage? The kid was an up-and-coming artist and trying to make do good things with his life.
Stay woke!
You're telling me being a rap artist is, quote-unquote, trying to do good things with your life?
Can you go to trade school for that?
If you succeed.
If you succeed, you make money.
Sadly,
that doesn't mean you're doing good things with your life.
Sadly, there's too many kids who think they're going to be professional athletes or professional musicians, rappers, whatever. They don't have a shot in hell.
Yeah, but just because you succeed in business, you know, if you go down, for example, I heard from my dear friend Heshi yesterday. And he runs the cancer center at Maimonides Hospital in Brooklyn, New York.
What part of Ireland is Heshi from?
If you were going down there every single day and sitting with kids and doing that, to me, just because you're a successful rapper doesn't mean you're doing, quote-unquote, good things in life.
You said to Ava, I savaged him this week. Like,
I did.
Wait, what's the savage of a young murder victim?
He was arrested when he was younger. He was a bad kid.
So was I. So guilty.
Yeah.
And, and then I grew up.
I'm not a fan. I've been over this a million times. I'm not a fan of the genre. I'm not a fan of the music. I'm not a fan of most of the personalities.
That's fine.
It just is what it is. I don't. Kendrick Lamar to me is a scumbag.
Well, that's different when you have guys saying and doing things that are ugly.
But what do you think this kid was going to do?
I don't know. I don't know that he did any of it. So I would reserve judgment before
I
savage
a
murder victim.
Right. Well, no, I savaged him a couple of days ago. Now I'm kind of.
You don't like that they call rap music because it's not really music. It's crap.
It's garbage. Yeah.
Well, it's all subjective. Let's not.
No, it's not. No, that's not for debate. Hey, I do want to send a quick shout out. You know, since you moved uptown, we used to go every Friday, as you know, to Harry's Italian Restaurant down by Gold and Wall Street. But since we moved uptown almost a month now, we haven't gone back. We're going back. Going to see our dear friend Danny Potash later on tonight. He never misses the Bernie and Sid show, driving from Long Island to Lower Manhattan every single day. He's a Long Island guy, too. Loves us. So a quick shout-out to Danny on this Friday morning.
What's up, Danny boy, on the Bernie and Sid show? Yes. Listen, we got James Patterson is coming up, the author. And we have a big spelling bee between me and Bill Evans, or Bill Evans and myself. And Sydney will be moderating coming up shortly.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Bernie, Sid, Alexa. The only three names that matter. Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Now on Echo Devices.
77 WABC.
One of my favorite songs, Blurry by Third Eye Blind. 7:51, your Friday morning, Bernie and Sid. What was that? Oh, Puddle of Mud, excuse me, you're right. Hey, listen, I know this is a big week for graduations. Ava graduated 8th grade on Wednesday. Olivia, Jill's daughter, graduated 8th grade on Thursday. Big, big month for graduations. Bernie's been through this with both of his lovely children. But I also find that this is a very big month for wedding anniversaries. I got married this month. This Monday, by the way, Bernie, this Monday, June 25th, marks my 26th wedding anniversary.
Wow.
26 years on
Good Monday. Lord.
Mine is the 30th.
Is there?
It's the 30th.
You know, June 30th.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the
30 years. 18 years.
18 years for you on June 30th.
26 years is a long time.
That's a long time, man. I mean, and I know everybody says this, they all bet against it, but they did, man. I mean, there was nobody, from my parents to my sisters to my buddies. And
understandably.
Nobody. Of course.
Hey, listen, mine is going to be 27 or 28.
Are you 27? In June
too? No, in October.
October, okay. That's when my sister got married. Both.
But it's been a long time, like yourself.
Long time.
We love you long time.
Yeah.
That's right. It's been it's been bliss all the way. Two great kids and a wonderful life.
You know what's really sad? Like teens these days don't kind of believe in marriage. My daughter was watching something the other day and
why do you make these blanket statements?
Because she says this. She's watching.
Teens these days. Your daughter maybe, but I know a lot of teens who are all about marriage.
Because we're watching this scene and they're in a fight, and my daughter blurts out, "Nobody stays together anymore."
Well, that's a different story. That
no, it's true.
Like, you make these blanket statements based on Olivia. I mean, my God,
she represents the average.
No, she doesn't. No.
Never go for retard.
No,
it's true.
No,
nobody believes in marriage anymore.
That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
It's sad.
But it's not true. It's stupid.
No, it's not.
No, marriages do come to an end, and kids are aware of that. But every little girl still wants to get married.
Still a sop.
Not my daughter.
Well, she's not the norm.
She's like, why? She's going to wind up in divorce.
She is
That's what she says.
She's only, 14?
14.
So she doesn't know what she wants. Marriage is still a solid institution.
100%.
Everybody, most people, in the end, they get married.
Of course.
But all of her friends' parents are getting divorced.
Well, that's because you live on the island. A bunch of the drug addicts and and wife swappers and degenerate. I mean, seriously, but all kidding aside, Long Island is the den
I
of iniquity.
I have more friends.
That
back up what Sid said. It's unbelievable.
It's true.
Sick people.
Bunch of
sick
yankas. People.
It's the worst.
Housewives.
It really is.
Housewives of Long Island.
They have bars where they're, you know, people know, like, the divorcees. Thursday night is divorcee night.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not?
Looks like fun.
You know what it is? Like, in Long Island, and I got plenty of friends there, too. Like, you're the type of people you smoke pot with your kids. Because they're going to do it anyway.
You're going too far.
A little too far. Don't tell me. I got relatives in Troy. They smoke pot with their kids.
I'll tell you what. Sydney, to Sid's point, I don't. And I don't like it, and I don't condone it. But I do know people that allow their kids to smoke. You can go smoke in the backyard.
Well, Jealous like that. Jealous like, I would rather have Olivia get nailed in my house than in a Motel 6.
Yeah. Teenage kids. Oh, yes. You can go smoke in the back. I swear to God, my neighbors they're friends of mine. And so sit right on that note. There are a lot of they want to be friends with their kids, and they think it's cool or something.
It's not good to smoke with your kids or drink with your kids, but it's okay to let them when they're of age to drink in your house, because at least they're not driving.
Yeah, but they got to leave the house eventually.
They could sleep over.
I never subscribed to that.
No, but
I just I was like,
this is what I'm talking about.
I'm an old school parent. I don't want to hear. I don't want to know you having. I don't want to know you're doing anything. Just don't freaking do it.
No,
hide it well.
I'm with you. I'm actually
terrified. And if I catch you, I'm going to kick your ass.
I am terrified. Right now, Gabriel, for example, he's 9, so he gets an erection. But he doesn't know why. No, I'm serious. He doesn't know why.
But go a little too far.
While you've got a son, I am terrified to walk by his room and see him or hear him do what daddy does.
Yeah. I never go in my son's room.
As long as you don't have a daughter that's getting an erection, you're going to be okay.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
It's Friday, you bastard.
I know you don't smoke weed. I know this. But I'm going to get you high today. Because it's Friday. You ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
Thank God it's...
I'm telling you, this is what people from Iraq and Talibanistan do. They hide out in neighborhoods like Lanford. Don't you watch the news? You don't mean the news, you mean Fox News. And...
Before we show you this photo, please know it's real. We checked it so many times because we thought this has to be fake. But today, on her way to show that she cares, Melania wore a jacket that says, I really don't care, do you? That's what they settled on?
With the 9th pick in the 2018 NBA draft, the New York Knicks select Kevin Knox.
I mean, they booed Porzingis, and look where he's at now. So that's kind of the same mindset I'm going to have. They can chant Michael Porter all they want, but, I mean, they got Kevin Knox, and I'm willing to work. I'm willing to get better.
Pitch swung on and hit in the air down the right field line. Gamo to the wall. She is gone!
It's Friday, you bastards.
I know you don't smoke weed. I know this. But I'm going to get you high.
A little bit of a technical difficulty
there.
Matt hit some button. No, okay, just shut it off, Matt. It's fine. Thank you.
One of the greatest lines in Hollywood history right there.
Friday, yeah, no doubt. Andujar, that was the home run for the Yankees. Aaron Judge also homered. The Yankees beat the Mariners again, 4-3. But the Red Sox won again. They beat the Twins 9-2. It's just unbelievable.
So we have a race.
Neither team ever loses.
This is, well...
ever!
At least we have some excitement.
A huge excitement. In fact, Joseph Aboud will join us live in studio on Tuesday. No bigger Boston Red Sox fan than Joe Aboud. Yankees have a weekend series up again. They've got coming out. The Mets have the Dodgers. The Mets lost again. They lost 5-4 to the Rockies, so they lose 3 out of 4.
And it's all, you know, by one or two...
Runs.
It's unbelievable.
Doesn't matter. They stink. It doesn't matter how much you lose by. They lost 7 out of 10. They got the Dodgers at home this week, and they're going to get killed. And the Knicks drafted Kevin Knox. It's, you know, Kevin is a guy that's 18 years old. He played 1 year at Kentucky. You like the fact that Kentucky's head coach, John Calipari, compares him favorably to the Boston Celtic rookie, Jason Tatum, who's a great player.
But you just don't like the fact that he actually got booed. I mean, that's not a good sign.
Well, but it doesn't matter because he said they booed Porzingis, too, a couple years ago, and he's an all-star.
He makes a good point.
Right. The Jets, I remember back in 98, Mike Vaccaro made this point today. They booed Jeff Lagerman, taking number 14 overall. He turned out to be great. So the local fans don't always get it right.
Well, but
is the point?
Can you come up with any instances where they booed and they were validated in their...
For the Knicks?
Disgust for it, yeah.
Every other year outside of Patrick Ewing.
Probably happens all the time. Just because you have one or two success stories despite the boos doesn't mean... but anyway...
This was the right pick. You know, Michael Porter Jr. was there. People liked this kid. He came, was a big player coming out of high school. He went to Missouri. He got hurt right away. This kid scored about 15 a game. He gets a bunch of rebounds. He's a bad defender, and he's still kind of thin. He's got to, you know, grow some muscle on that body of his. But he can shoot the ball. He shoots threes almost 40% for a man his size. That's pretty good. I think the Knicks made the right pick. I mean, You could have taken the kid from Villanova, who got drafted by the 76ers and dealt to the Phoenix Suns, and you could have taken Michael Porter Jr., but for me, I think they took the right
guy. How about the Nets going all the way to Bosnia?
Yes, they do that every year. It's like the second time in three years.
What's with the Nets and Russians and Bosnians and this kind of thing?
They're owned by a Russian Prokhorov.
There is something behind it.
Yes, that is Russian collusion.
That is the Nets.
So listen, so we did this, by the way, don't forget, I want to remind everybody, coming up at noon today, there was a joke there about Melania and that stupid jacket she wore yesterday. It was just stupid. And there was a joke there about Lori Metcalf saying on Roseanne, which is going to come back without Roseanne in the fall, about how that was Fox News. Check out my boy Bernard coming up this afternoon. He's great on this show. He's not good. He's great. Outnumbered noon to one on Fox News coming up this afternoon. So
well, make very sure you nice. Watch. Thank you. I'll be there. I don't know about great or any of that stuff, but
it's funny.
I like hanging out with the ladies every now and then. They're very kind to have me on their couch. It's usually a Friday.
You're the smartest person in the room.
That's not true.
Yes, it is true. And I like Harris, and I like all those ladies, but you're great on that show. You're the smartest person in the room, and you give us promotion, which
you're
is
very
good.
Nice. So. Bernie and Sid, that's right. Bernie and Sid on WABC. You'll hear it today
at noon.
Fox News. At noon.
Fox News at noon. Check out my man Bernie. But
in fact, I should have a picture of you. I should have it on my chest
bring it
or something.
Out. Yeah.
It would be nice. Yeah, do something like that. Maybe they could just show a picture of the two of us.
Right?
Yeah, that's true.
They should. They do love you. You're on all the time. But listen, in the spirit of you on Fox News today and the Knickerbockers drafting Kevin Knox, number 9, we have another media person on this show. Not going to be on Fox News, but our intrepid reporter who also doubles as the board op slash producer for this show, Matt Meany, took it to the streets last night.
My man.
He lives only a couple of blocks away from the Barclays Center, right off Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn, where, in fact, they held last night's NBA draft. So I said to Matt, because we have no money here, we can't hire anybody.
In fact, Matt lives in a box, cardboard box.
Basically.
Speaking of no money.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah. Here's a break in the news, everybody.
So I said, maybe you can go out there and get some of the reaction, either pre or post draft, from the local bands, being there are a ton of Knick bands in Brooklyn for this draft tonight. Now, I have no idea what he asked these folks. I have no idea, but I know he's got about 2 minutes of audio. Do you want to hear it?
Yes, I do.
You do?
Very much so.
Well, then here it is, our guy Matt Meany outside the Barclays Center last night, before the Knicks took Kevin Knox. Number 9.
What's your name?
Josiah.
And what's your name there, son?
Zion.
Can you guys name 5 players between the two of you in this year's NBA draft?
DeAndre Ayton.
Luka Doncic.
Marvin Bagley.
Kevin Knox.
Based on those guys, their physical measurements, which one of those 5 guys do you think has the biggest penis?
Yikes.
I didn't name him, but Mo Bamba.
That's Mo Bamba because he's 7'1 with a 7'10 wingspan. He's huge.
What's your name?
Tim.
Can you name 5 guys in this NBA draft?
DeAndre Ayton, Luka Doncic, Michael Porter Jr., Mo Bamba.
So based on their physical measurements, one of those guys do you think has the biggest penis?
Whoa, Mo Bamba. He's a big dude.
Do you have any thoughts on Dennis Rodman's relationship with Kim Jong-un?
He's nuts. It's a Rodman move, what he's doing. He's just nuts.
Kevin, where are you from?
I'm from Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
Do you think you can name 5 other players in this draft?
Eitan Bagley, Jaren Jackson Jr., Trae Young.
Based on their physique and physical measurements, which one of those players do you think has the biggest penis?
Eitan's from, like, the Bahamas, right?
Yeah.
Probably got that Mandingo going.
What's your name?
Ben.
And you?
Another Ben.
Could you name 5 other guys in this NBA draft?
Luka Doncic, Jaren Jackson, Mo Bamba.
Based on those guys' physical measurements, which one of those guys do you think has the biggest penis?
I heard Kevin Knox has a big shoe size, so I don't know.
I got Dave from Arizona here with me right now. Could you name some other prospects that might be drafted tonight?
Aiden Doncic, Bamba, Bagley.
Based on these guys' physique and physical measurements, which one of the guys that you just named do you think has the biggest penis?
If it's proportional to wingspan, then Bamba's got a third leg down there somewhere.
Any feelings on Dennis Rodman's relationship with the North Korean dictator at all?
He's an entertainer. I think he understands the value of what he's doing. I think it's great.
You got here. What's your name, sir?
Connor.
Out of all these guys in the draft, based on their physical measurements,
all right, thank you. Excellent job.
Very good.
Everybody
very good.
Went with the excellent job by Matt Meany, by the way.
You
excellent
broke your
job,
cherry.
Meany. But everybody seemed to think the kid from Harlem.
Mo.
Yes.
Hey, Mo. Mo Bamba, Mo Mo Boner, I guess. I don't know.
I guess. He was the highest draft choice for a kid out of New York City since Lamar Odom went number 4 overall back in 1999. So Harlem's own Mamba went number 6 to the Orlando Magic.
Harlem's own, but he did go to prep school.
Yes, he did.
Sent him to a New England prep school. He did not. He's not a product of the New York City school system.
No.
That's why he's smart.
And that's what he said. He actually said that.
So he can spell basketball. That's good.
That's right. And he can name, unlike some of those people that Meany was interviewing,
yeah,
he could probably name at least 5 presidents right. of the United States. I bet you if you ask those guys, name 5 former presidents,
yeah,
they'd be like Lincoln, Washington,
right.
Obama.
See, Obama. It wasn't all that surprising, Meany, that they
did I hit 5 yet?
No, they hit 3. That they knew the players because they weren't they at the NBA draft?
Yeah.
So they would know that, yeah, I would guess. And if you went to some desolate location miles away from Barclays or even downstairs at Penn Station, they would never be able to name 5 other players, I wouldn't think. But they were there at the draft, so.
What kind of crowd was it, Meany?
What kind of people are these?
What kind of people go on a Thursday night to the Barclays Center to watch a draft?
A lot of losers. There was a lot of guys. I saw one guy there, a Knicks fan there. He had these short shorts on, his shirt tucked in. It's like Knicks draft hat. He looked like such a nerd. But there was a lot of Phoenix Suns fans there. I was surprised.
Well, they
had
the number 1 pick.
Yeah, so they showed up.
And they took the kid 8. You know, you may remember during the basketball season, Arizona's head coach, Sean Miller, was suspended, almost got fired. Because supposedly he paid this player's family a ton of money to come to Arizona. That was this kid, Ayton, who went number 1 overall last night to the Suns. And later in the draft, Bridges, the kid who played at Villanova, was drafted by the 76ers, where his mother works. And his mother started crying. She was so happy that her son was staying home. Went to college at Villanova, going to play for the 76ers. She worked for the team. And then moments later, she's still crying, he got dealt to Phoenix too. So the Suns last night picked up the number 1 kid out of Arizona, Ayton, and Bridges out of Villanova.
Can I ask Matt Meany, our board up, of what was your obsession with the penis size?
Well, I was just trying to be funny and catch people off guard.
Right.
I didn't want to make it too like sports centered, so like right. You know, I just you know I
Peepee's always funny, Bernie. It's always funny.
Yeah, you know, and the Kim Jong Un stuff.
He's got the Herb Williams thing in his mind.
No, good stuff, good effort. Very good, Matt Meany doing all kinds of, wearing a different hat.
Yeah,
last night.
How about that? Man on the street. Now we still have a lot of big guests stopping by today. James Patterson, one of the best authors alive today, and of course he wrote the novel Thriller with Bill Clinton that got a ton of play a couple of weeks ago, and Patterson's coming on next hour, this hour.
Call the president's missing, and he may have the former president standing by to talk to us on the phone as well.
You never know.
You can't never tell, Sidney.
And famed defense attorney Arthur Idala's in Berlin, and he's going to call us from Germany in the 9 o'clock hour, too. So lots more to do. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. More of Bernie and Sid right after these words.
I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
I can't see that band working. I used to love them. I know Mickey Dolenz and Michael Nesmith are still alive, but with no Davy Jones, it just can't work. So listen, we got a couple of big guests stopping by. James Patterson, he wrote the book again with Bill Clinton all over the news the last couple of weeks. He'll be here in about 10 minutes. That's very exciting.
Slick Willis.
Then you get the big spelling bee between Bernard McGurk and Bill Evans in about 28 minutes. That's very exciting. Famed defense attorney live from Berlin, Germany, where he'll check out the Rolling Stones later on tonight and Germany World Cup soccer tomorrow. Arthur Idala in the 9 o'clock hour as well. So still a lot of exciting stuff coming your way in the final 90 minutes of the Bernie and Sid show this week. But I got to tell you, we were talking last hour. Bernie's going to be on Fox News today, noon, outnumbered. He's great on that. And Fox News lost a dear friend. In fact, we all lost a dear friend. And a brilliant guy in Charles Krauthammer. He passed away.
He did. He was a brilliant intellect. and a witty guy, a funny guy.
All that.
And just and his style of debating was always, you know, gentlemanly.
Him and Bill O'Reilly were so good together.
They were.
Perfect TV. So he's worthy of all this stuff today, right?
He really is.
All the tributes?
All the tributes.
Not according to Jill.
Well, no, I didn't say that.
Yes, you did. Jill is upset.
Jill, you know what, Jill, when we made fun a little bit, when we had a little fun at Stephen Hawking's expense, she freaked out.
She got mad. Right.
She was like, oh, right. Show some respect.
Right.
Well, you know what? Now it's the reverse.
No, it's not because of Krautheimer.
Right.
She's upset today that if we're going to talk about somebody dying, she wants it to be Coco the elephant.
Coco the gorilla.
I saw that, and I knew that she would be like in mourning.
If we're going to talk about Krauthammer, right. What about Coco the elephant?
Coco like, the
what?
Gorilla.
Gorilla, I'm sorry.
Are you out of your mind?
I am not, and Coco the gorilla.
Okay, Coco the gorilla was said that Coco was gone.
48 years old.
Where did he live? Where did Coco live? What zoo?
He was in California.
Which one? San Diego?
He was in Woodside.
Uh-huh.
Okay, great.
And did a lot of people go? I'm ignorant. I'm asking honest questions here.
He was the first gorilla to do sign language.
And he sang, right? Didn't he sing or something? Or
probably he was very intelligent.
So didn't he smoke cigars?
I think he did.
Yeah. Probably, yeah.
Didn't he beat Bill Evans in a spelling bee a couple years ago?
That's not hard.
So
he
people
can't get a date.
Thank you. Did people travel from all over the world to see Coco?
Exactly.
He
was a very important fixture. In
very intelligent
gorilla
primate.
Yeah.
So you think that he's more worthy of our...
I cried when I found out he passed.
And with Charles...
Oh, you did not.
She did.
I did.
And when we told her Charles was dying, you know what she texted back? Bye-bye.
Oh. No, I was kidding.
That is true.
Bye-bye.
That is true, what Sid just said.
Well, you guys were mean to Stephen Hawking. But
the gorilla, she's a mess.
I'm a mess, and so is the whole Twitter world.
You know, here she goes again.
When she tweeted... bye-bye to Charles Krauthammer. Remember the lion that, Cecil the Lion?
Yes.
Yes, the dentist.
Yeah. I was going to come back at you with Cecil the Lion, you know, F Cecil the Lion.
Well,
Charles Krauthammer was a dignified guy
who
went through abject hell. He paralyzed himself, brilliant guy, and still... made himself who he was and never complained about it.
Forget about Charles. Even the poor rapper down in Florida is sadder than Coco the elephant. The gorilla.
Oh, he's a gorilla, Sid. And he did so many good things. And
what did Coco do that was a great thing?
He taught sign language.
To who?
Everybody.
He was just happened to be a smart gorilla. I mean, for God's sakes.
But he was kept in a cage. You know, it's sad. He was kept in a zoo.
Right. Well, what do you... Once an animal is a cage like that, you can't put them back in the wild or they die.
Right.
Well, there are ways to do it. Rehabilitation that teaches them how
But the point is this. There's so much happening out in the world. When humans die...
Right.
To lose it over...
Coco the gorilla.
Thank you. For God's sake.
You know, she's so full of it. If God forbid... little girl, Emma, who's adorable, by the way. She's a cutie. If Emma... jumped over the fence at the Bronx Zoo and ended up in some cage with some gorilla.
Bye bye.
Exactly.
Like, I know, but the Coco didn't do that.
Coco Loco.
It's sad.
We got sad. A gorilla for sale. Oh, not anymore.
It's not Bernie.
What happened?
That's not funny. It's very sad. I'm very upset.
You'll be fine. James Patterson wrote the book with Bill Clinton that everybody's been talking about for weeks. We talked to the author himself right after these. Yeah, Yiskadavi, Yiskadasha, May Rob off your gorilla there. Terrible.
Thank you for acknowledging.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Back on the Bernie and Sid show on this Friday morning. Getting ready for the big weekend. Next week, of course, we'll come to you live 2 days from Atlantic City, the grand opening of the brand new gorgeous Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Atlantic City. That'll be next Thursday and Friday. So we got lots of exciting stuff going on the Bernie and Sid show. Hey, our next guest is a wonderful author. He's had, so many great thrillers, so many it's impossible to name. He's got his new book out, though, which he wrote with Bill Clinton, called The President Is Missing, a political thriller. He's actually been on with us once before, and he was so glib and personable, which I'm not going to lie, kind of surprised us, that we were excited to have him back on. Here he is, one of the great authors ever. And while I'm going to say it, our good friend, James Patterson. Good morning, Jim.
Hello, Jimmy.
Good morning. That's a terrible setup, though. I got to be glib and personable now, Jim.
I hate that. At this early in the morning, it's terrible. Listen,
James. All right, okay. I'll do my best.
James Patterson, I'll start off by you did go to Manhattan College. Now, what was your.
All the way.
I'm sorry?
Manhattan and Vanderbilt.
That's right. But when you were at Manhattan, this is a 242nd Street and Broadway. Were you a terminal bar guy or the Pine Woods?
Both.
But really?
Sometimes on the same night.
Just sick on Friday and Saturday nights.
And Blarney Stone, I think, was there too.
Of course,
there were three right there.
Okay. Yeah, maybe that was a little before my time, the Blarney. I don't remember that one, but I do remember the terminal.
Yeah, there were two on Broadway and then one right around the corner.
And then there was always the keg parties in Van Cortlandt Park right across the street, right across Broadway.
There were a few little problems there, too, yeah.
James Patterson, the book is The President.
Madison Square Garden for doing bad things there.
Yes, the Blarney Rock is here. The President is Missing. James will be at the book review in Huntington. That is coming up on next Thursday, June 28th, and he'll be there at 11 a.m. with,
one of my favorite bookstores in the country.
It is a great bookstore. Yeah, and he'll be there with Bill Clinton. So before we get to specifics about you and Bill and some of the appearances you made before, for folks who have not yet read the book or don't even know much about the book, James, what are they going to get when they buy and read The President is Missing?
I think what they're going to get is just authenticity. I mean, there's probably the most destructive attack in the United States ever. If that kind of thing happened in terms of cybersecurity, it would happen like this. The president goes missing in the book. If it happened, it could happen like this. There's an attack against the presidential limousine. If it happened, it would happen like that. You know, when I write thrillers, I'm kind of making up a lot of stuff. But when I'm writing with Bill Clinton, it's a different thing. He can actually tell me this is how it works, and or if he doesn't have the answer, let's talk to this person. So, you know, and we've got, you know, like Lee Child is a really good thriller writer. You know, he said it was a thriller of the decade. And Ron Chernow, who does nonfiction, he was a big fan.
Oh, he's great. Hamilton. Chernow.
So, you know, like that.
So, James Patterson, author of the book, The President is Missing.
How was that for like 30 seconds?
That was good. That was a good synopsis.
Self-promotion.
Listen, the book cover is beautiful. I'm sure you're going to continue selling, and you'll be again in Huntington next Thursday at the Huntington book review with Bill Clinton at 11 o'clock. Now, speaking of Bill Clinton, how did you get him to do this with you? I mean, did you know him forever, or what happened?
I knew him a little bit. No, not forever. I knew him a little. We'd gotten together for a couple hours somewhere along the way. We have the same lawyer agent, who handles pretty much everybody out of Washington. He handles the Obamas. He handles the Reagan stuff. He handled, anybody from Washington, Woodward. So he put us together. And then we talked about it. And, Clinton's a good storyteller. So it was a good combination. And obviously he knows everything about the subject. So that idea of writing something that could be this authentic, writing a thriller that could be this authentic was kind of, we both grew up in small towns. I grew up in Newburgh, and when I was a kid, I mean, nobody came to Newburgh, but when I was 8 or 9, President Eisenhower came. I never got within 300 feet of him, but I never forgot that. So the idea of spending, a year basically with Bill Clinton was irresistible.
Oh, yeah, sure. By the way,
I played golf with him. I played golf with Trump. I played golf with the Bushes.
Look at you. God, you're a bigger name dropper than Pat O'Brien.
Really? Oh, all right.
No, actually, I've been to Newburgh many times. I fly out of Stewart Airport. I will say this. You got a chance to write a book with Bill Clinton. It sounds like it's a great book. You ought to be really excited, James Patterson, about going out on the road with Bill and doing interviews and promoting this book. And very early on in that process, to use the word disaster, maybe an understatement.
Yeah. The NBC thing, that wasn't the finest moment. Absolutely. It happens, whatever. No. It's a funny thing. The Daily Show did a thing. They just cut a bunch of my takes as I'm in the background.
That is funny.
Pretty funny.
Yeah. You look like a hostage. You look like...
I think a little bit of it was a misunderstanding. I think that the interviewer either didn't know or the communication wasn't good about whether you know, the president had ever, you know, apologized to Monica Lewinsky, and he had on tape. I mean, it was very clear.
But that aside, James Patterson,
you know, identified, he apologized to her and her family.
I mean,
that was really, the upper was mainly about that.
But how could a savvy guy like the president and yourself not anticipate that that would be the thrust of most of the questions in the hashtag MeToo era?
Well, they didn't ask me, so.
No, but you kept trying to interject and save them.
I could be as savvy as I wanted to be, but I really wasn't in a position. I don't know. You know, as the president has said, it wasn't his finest moment on whatever. I think we kind of weren't expecting it a little bit, so that's not really an excuse. But, you know, look, I mean, we're talking about 20 years ago, and, you know, we can go back. We can do JFK stuff. We can do FDR. We can do Eleanor Roosevelt. We can do Thomas Jefferson. You know, a lot of stuff is going on over the course of our history here. But, you know. Whatever.
Right, but then comes along hashtag Me Too, and then suddenly none of those people get passes.
Yeah, look, and I think, I don't know where you guys are at, but, I mean, we think, you know, it's a good thing. And it's been a long time coming, and honestly, if you want to point any figures, I mean, not pointing at you guys, but, you know, the media, everybody, you know, I mean, we've been hearing about the casting
couch
since we were kids. And, you know, nobody dug into it. I remember being doing it on a movie with Ashley Judd, and she was in her 20s at the time, and she was talking about it back then. So it's not like nobody didn't know about it. So where was all the investigation back then? Whatever.
Well, then Hillary Clinton lost the election, and Trump won, and then all of a sudden, everything is fair game. And the Clintons are no longer in power. They're not needed. So let's go get them. That's pretty much what happened.
Yeah, you know this better than I do. There's a lot of it is interesting. I mean, just for me, unfortunately, I don't get the rockets, you know, fired at me. But it's interesting just to be on the sidelines and watch this thing.
It was funny to watch your facial expressions.
You were in a tough spot. James Patterson, the book once again.
Yeah, I know what Pence must feel like.
The book is The President is Missing, and you can check out James along with Bill Clinton coming up Thursday the 28th at a wonderful place, Book Review in Huntington at 11 a.m. Hey, continued success, James. You're a great writer. You're a fun guy. We love having you on. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you much. It was really fun to talk to you guys again.
Yes, thank you, James Patterson.
Here it is. The President's Missing, glib and personal. He lived up to the hype.
Yes, he did. He did a terrific job. You want to go right to break? You want to talk to Chip, who's calling us from Russia? Don't we got to talk to Chip?
Yeah.
He's calling from Russia.
He's calling from Russia.
What's up, Chip?
Chip, what's going on? You actually really calling from Russia?
Yeah, I am. I'm standing outside the stadium in Volgograd getting ready to watch Iceland v. Nigeria World Cup.
Are you serious?
Absolutely. Dead serious.
Do you live in Russia? You listen to Bernie and Sid every single day?
No.
He's a local. Well, I live in New Mexico, but I listen to you guys on the podcast when I'm traveling. I always download your podcast and listen to you, and I know Bernie just became a fan of World Cup, so I thought I'd call you up. Standing here getting ready to go into the match.
My man, Chip. So listen, how's it go? I mean, Volgograd, the former Stalingrad, what's it like out there with
exactly.
all those nuts, those crazy animal soccer hooligans, and the Russians?
Exactly. It's awesome. We're standing down below the big statue, Mamaya Kurgan, which was erected after the Battle of Stalingrad. So it's an amazing city. The Volga River's on the other side of the stadium, and all the fans out here, Iceland, Nigeria, all sorts of different fans. It's a lot of fun.
Well, it should be a great game. Iceland did very, very well that first game. I mean, it doesn't look as good now since Argentina got blown out 3-0 by Croatia yesterday. But to play Argentina to that 1-1 tie in that first game showed us they got some grit. So that should be a very, very exciting game. Enjoy it.
I think so. I think if they win today, they've got a good shot at going through. So let's see what happens.
All right, my friend. Enjoy it out there. Russia World Cup. How about that?
Thanks for calling, Chip.
That's awesome.
My man.
Three more big games today. And, of course, the big story is that Messi in Argentina, he's been awful. And for all the comparison of him and Ronaldo, Ronaldo's got 4 goals in a win and a tie for Portugal. And Messi barely has a shot on goal in a tie and a loss for Argentina.
Excuse me, Chip. Put down phone, please. You're coming with us right now. Chip,
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Well, folks, welcome back. The Bernie and Sid Show. And today we've got our very first ever celebrity spelling bee. I'm your host for today's festivities, Sid Rosenberg. And we've got a momentous matchup coming your way. 2 of the all-time greats. Beautiful, built, and brilliant. from two sides of the spectrum. Well, actually, not really, but one a TV star, one a radio star. Let's meet our two contestants for today's game, and we'll start with this man. You see him each and every day on Channel 7, ABC Eyewitness News. Big star here in New York City, and most recently, a national star as well, seeing him with Ryan Seacrest on the Kelly and Ryan Show. And, of course, hearing his voice every morning on WABC. Let's hear it. Channel 7's very own Bill Evans. Good morning, Bill.
Thank you very much. I like floppy-eared puppy dogs. It's a pleasure to be here with you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Well, nice to have you. Bill, what makes you think you're going to win this game today? What makes you think you're a very good speller?
I had a package of peanut M&Ms and a Diet Coke.
Okay.
And I'm ready to go.
That's your pregame. Is that a ritual, no matter what you're working out? Or
not so much. I just figured, you know, my competition probably had milk and cookies. So I upped my game.
Okay. That's the first one. Your competition, by the way, is my partner. Nobody does a better job on radio every day in New York City. Also a star on Fox News. He does it all. The multi-talented, the brilliant Bernard McGurk. Good morning, Bernard.
Good morning, Sydney. I like long walks on the beach and burying my opponents in the sand dunes.
Oh, boy.
Now, I love that.
Now, unlike Bill Evans, who had some M&Ms and Diet Coke, I saw you just moments ago before the start of today's game, shadow boxing, jogging, jumping.
That's right.
You seem to think for some reason, Bernie, this is a physical exercise.
No, it just loosens it makes me limber, mentally limber.
Okay.
When I'm physically limber, which you know the feeling. You work
100%,
out,
yes.
And you're mentally confident.
All right, there it is. Those are our two contestants, Bill Evans, Channel 7 Eyewitness News, the very talented Bernard McGurk here on the Bernie and Sid Show.
By the way, can I just...
Sure, can.
I have people looking at me, Bill Evans, so I can't Google stuff. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Huh? He's already cheating. He pretends he doesn't know what I'm talking about.
No. I have Liz Cho in here. I don't need any more help.
Wait a second. Hold on.
Is that really true? Or are you kidding? He's kidding. She won't be there until later on.
Call HR.
That's Lee Goldberg's girl, not yours. Anyway, it's Bill Evans versus Bernie McGurk. We did flip a coin in the back. And,
probably Sam champion.
The fix is in. Bernie McGurk wins the coin flip. So, Bernie, we'll go to you first.
Wait a minute. Can I ask, what do you win for this? Is there a prize for this?
Yeah, bragging rights, pal.
Oh, that's
bragging
about
it.
Rights.
Nah, yeah, you, you know what? If you lose, I'll send you a gift, a nice little dunce cap. How about that?
I'll tell you what, if you win, we'll sit you down with Craig and do some more contract negotiations. How about that?
Hard times over there. I keep getting the mailings.
We'll send you a Bernie and Sid mug if you win.
That's right.
And you can, you know what, maybe you can send me one of your beautiful WABC umbrellas.
I would be more than happy to do that.
I like
that. By the way, Jill last week did send one of our listeners, I-Man Bill, longtime Bernie and Sid listener, mugs. He lives out in California. She put it in an envelope. So by the time they got to California, they were broken in half. Both mugs. So, thank you, Jill.
Genius.
Guy out
of heard
a
bubble wrap.
But here's how the game goes. You've got the words, and then Jill actually picked the words, our talented producer, Jill. And she also has a sentence with each of these words. So this really goes to show you what a moron she is. Anyway, here we go. Word number one. The word is vacuum. And the sentence is, go tell your wife to clean up and use her new vacuum. Bernard,
vacuum.
How do you spell vacuum?
Well, V-A-C-U-U-M.
That is correct.
Bernard, way to go.
All right. That was too easy, but go ahead.
We've got 10 of these, and as long as you answer correctly, you maintain control of the board. This one much more difficult. Gentlemen, both Bernie and Bill, I did make a visit to the eye doctor this week and found out that I've got something very painful and has caused a lot of swelling on both of my eyes. It's called blepharitis. Bernie, please spell blepharitis.
B-L-E-T-H-O-R-I-T-I-S.
That is incorrect. That is not even close.
What kind of word is that?
Your chance to, again, Jill picked the words. Bill Evans, your chance to steal my eye issue blepharitis.
Blepharitis.
Yeah, that's right.
B-L-E-T-H-O-R-I-T-I-S.
P-H-I-T-I-S.
Yeah, stupid. That's what I just said. Yeah, same thing. Gentlemen, we're looking for the P-H in the blepharitis, not the
oh,
P-H.
It's
blepharitis.
Well, then you didn't pronounce it properly.
No, I did. Well, you're both deaf.
Oh, no.
Moving on to the next one.
He said blep.
Yes. No, I
yes,
did
he
not.
Did, right, Bill?
Yes.
Blepharitis. You got to
stop sucking
more.
Your thumb. It's like, you'll be able to see, hey, say a P-H.
It's like the broadcast boof. You know how they say
No, I didn't say blepharitis. Believe me, I know what I got. Okay, folks.
Okay, I'm sorry. I got arthritis.
Here's the next word. The word, Bernard, is chauffeur. The word is chauffeur.
Chauffeur. C-H-A-U-F-F-E-U-R.
That is correct.
Way to go, Bernard.
2-0 Bernard. Of course, once he gets to 6, the game would be over. Here's a tough one for you. It's an immature fruit of a cucumber. According to Jill, her husband's penis is the size of this. And it's I swear to God, it's called a gherkin. Spell gherkin, Bernard.
G-H. Now, this is an E or a U. Let me see here. G-H-E-R-K-I-N.
That is correct.
Yes. Yes.
Can I ask a question? Do I get to spell a letter in this competition?
Well, he has to get something wrong. First, we give you one opportunity.
Well, if he gets something wrong.
That's right.
Yeah, and which is not going
to
happen.
This is not volleyball.
Here we go. Get ready, Bill, for your chance to steal. Okay. A fake name used by people who don't want to be found. When Bill Evans checks into a hotel, he goes by the pseudonym of Sam Champion. Please, Bernard, spell pseudonym.
P-S-E-U-D-O-N-Y-M.
That is correct.
Thank you.
Bernard.
Thank you very much.
All right, Bill, I feel badly at this point. Bernard's got all four right.
Welcome to the Bernard Show. I'll see you guys. Have a nice weekend.
All right, Bill, I'm going to send this one to you. We're going to break the actual rules of the game.
No. Go ahead. Bernard will screw
this up. Here you go. This one's for you. First ever winning word in 1925. Bill Evans, it's a flowering plant. If you would, please, spell the word gladiolus.
Gladiolus, as in like gladiator, right?
Well, yes, very
gladiolus.
Similar.
G-L-A-D-I-O-L-I-S.
Oh!
He didn't. It's A-S.
Wrong! Both of you.
You're both wrong. It's actually a U-S. Bill, we'll stick with you.
Oh, Bernard missed it too.
Yeah, so we'll stick with you, Bill. You're down 4-0. Here's what Jill writes. What Jewish boys get chopped off by the moil? And we're looking for the word, Bill Evans, foreskin. Foreskin.
Come on.
I thought you were going to say head. I didn't. Here we go. Foreskin. F-O-R-E-S-K-I-N.
Yes! Yes! All right, we've got a game now. We've got a game. It's 4-1. We'll stick with you here, Bill. Bill Evans trying to cut Bernard's lead in half, cut the lead to 4-2. If you would, please, Bill Evans, spell the word hypocrisy.
Hypocrisy.
Yes.
Hypocrisy. All right, here we go. Hypocrisy. H-I-P-P-O-C-R-A-S-Y.
You're running out of moron. You know that? I mean, no kidding aside.
It's H-Y-P-O-C-R-I-C-Y.
Wait, Bernie, say it again.
Say it again.
No, I said it right.
No,
say
you didn't.
H-Y-P-R-O-C-R-I-C-Y. A-C-Y.
Oh, not even
wrong.
Close.
Gentlemen. No, I-S-Y. I-S-Y.
It's H-Y-P-O-C-R-I-S.
You don't get second chances.
No, you don't.
That's what I said.
You said C.
You put an R.
Here we go.
I hate you people.
Here we go. Fake spelling me.
No, Bill,
you
get to stick around, Bill. You got 2 minutes to go. You're down 4-1. This is one I would think you would know. You're a well-traveled man. You've got your own boat. I do think of you as a cultured individual.
I know how to spell hypocrisy.
D-E-M-O-C-R-A-T. Bill, here's your word. It's a city in France where, of course, they signed a big-time deal. If you would for us, please, Bill Evans, spell the word Versailles.
Versailles. Versailles. That's V E R S A I L L E S.
Oh!
Yes.
Bill, I'm going to give you control of the board. You're down 4-2. You've stayed right in this. This one is going to be a little tougher for you.
Uh-oh.
This is when you have to go to the doctor, Bill Evans, and your throat hurts because you've got something called streptococcus.
Oh.
If you would, Bill Evans, spell streptococcus.
Streptococcus.
Yes.
S-T-R-E-P-T-O-C-C-U-S. Epitococcus. CCUS.
Ah, too late.
Too late.
It's two C's. You got it wrong the first time. It is two C's. You're right? Am I right?
But I'm not sure he got it wrong the first time.
He said one C.
But he did correct himself before I even jumped in and said anything. I'm going to give him credit for that word. Yes.
I am objecting. Judges, I'm appealing to the judges. Is that allowed? He can't give two answers?
I'm the host. He did correct himself before I jumped in. You jumped in as a player. You shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Therefore, Bill Evans gets the point.
That's right.
Score is right.
Continuing this game under protest.
Don't be such a caucus.
Bill. Hey, Evans, here's your chance to tie.
Here we go.
Outrageous.
The definition is,
see a priest,
course,
Bernard.
The definition, of course, is a deadlock. If you would, please, Bill Evans, spell the word impasse.
As in, the show is at an impasse.
Now, by the way, that's very funny. If you get this wrong, the game is over.
Is that an impasse?
The game is over if I don't get this right?
That's right. Bernie wins.
He's 4-3. He's Googling.
Impasse.
Wow.
Too easy.
He is correct.
And yes, you gave him too much time to Google.
Okay, well, he came back and tied the game.
And he got Streptococcus wrong.
So here's what we've got, gentlemen.
Caucus.
We've got a 4-4 tie.
I'll tell you what.
I'm going to give each one word to see if we can win the game.
How about I ask him one and he asks me one?
Even better.
Good.
Go ahead.
All right. Bill, you ready for that?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. And I'm going to go to your specialty.
Okay.
You're a meteorologist, so you're a southern guy, and you know geographical locations. Spell Lake Pontchartrain.
Oh, Lake Pontchartrain.
Yeah,
in
that.
Southern Louisiana.
That's right.
A rather large body of water.
Yeah, indeed. Spell it.
Lake Pontchartrain. L-A-K-E. P-O-N. C-H-E-R.
Nope.
T-R-A-I-N.
Nope. Nope, 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 nope. You left out. It's Pontchartrain. P-O-N-T-C-H-A-R-T-R-A-I-N.
All right, Bill, you got to give Bernie a word here. Bernie gets it right. He's the outright winner. If not, we're going to play this to a 4-4 tie. Go ahead, Bill Evans.
Come on, brother.
Okay, here we go, Bernard. Here's the exact opposite of what you are, sir. Hippopotamus.
H-I-P-P-O-P. O-T-T-A-M-U-S.
No, that's incorrect.
No.
That
is one T, Bernard. H-I-P-P-O-P-O-T-A-M-U-S.
Well, here's the good news, gentlemen. We're out of time, and being that nobody won this game today.
Oh, yes. We'll continue.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to call. It's a draw. We will continue this next week.
I'm still under protest.
Bernie's... We will have that. We'll send that to Craig Schwab. It's under protest. We've played to a 4-4 tie. We will continue this monster matchup next week. How does that sound, guys?
That sounds great. Right. Have the pablum, Bernard.
Hey, you're going down, brother.
I enjoyed that, fellas. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
These are stupid people.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Well, for a lot of us, we hear this song, we think of one thing, and that's that great movie, Say Anything, John Cusack, I should say, Lloyd Dobler, holding up the boombox outside of Ione Skye's house. He loved her. And she's in her bedroom, the window's open, crying on the bed, and he walks out of the car with his sweatpants and his tank top, holds up the boombox, and here's Peter Gabriel in your eyes.
You know, if someone did that to me, Sid, I'd close my window. Then I'd call the cops.
I bet you would, too.
Well, she didn't, by the way, and it turned out to be a great, great love story and an iconic romance. Say Anything. Well, folks, prepare to experience the behind-the-scenes look into his breakout role as Lloyd Dobler. He's Wigan. Purchase tickets to see the show at njpac.org. But how about this? Caller number 6 right now to the contest line, 212-268-WABC, 212-268-9222 has a chance, thanks to Bernie and Sid, to go see it live. That's right. John Cusack behind-the-scenes look. Lloyd Dobler. More chances to win at WABCRadio.com, but caller number 6 right now gets to check it out. This iconic romance, one of my favorite movies ever. Say anything. Oh, I see the light and the heat. Oh, so we've been promoting all day long this big appearance by Bernie. And we're supposed to go down at noon today. He's done it many times before. He's always great on it.
Let me ask you this. Have you ever seen me wear shoes before?
You don't know.
Never. It's always boots or sneakers.
That's right.
So I actually bought a new pair of shoes.
Which, they're gorgeous. And you came to me earlier about what pants you should wear today to match those beautiful pair of shoes.
That's right.
So you bought that specifically for today?
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Wow.
I got it from Amazon. I'm like, all right, let me just get it. Like, I'll wear shoes. And I used to wear sneakers to the set, but today it just seemed like a shoes type of
thing. It's a great-looking pair of shoes. And then on that show, you do, of course, see a lot of shows that you'll do or will do. There's a desk. You don't really see our pants or
right.
our feet. Here you're sitting on a couch with the four ladies, so you see all of that. So it's a great pair of shoes. You were going to be great again, but in the very sad passing of Charles Krauthammer, they have decided now to, you're not going to be on today.
They're going to go with a Fox News anchor, a colleague of Charles Krauthammer, as part of a tribute
to the late
Krauthammer.
Makes sense. I mean, you knew him and you guys liked each other, but you weren't really close with him.
I never met Charles Krauthammer. He was always in the D.C. Bureau.
Yeah.
I never saw him up here in New York.
Yeah.
So I just love the guy just from watching and reading his work.
He was great. He was a conservative, but I always loved him with O'Reilly because I always felt like he kind of kept it kind of even.
He always had this wry smile, like he thought he was getting the better of O'Reilly, or
a lot of the time he did.
Yeah, no, he did actually.
A lot of the time,
and they both were almost polar opposite styles. O'Reilly, more a working blue collar kind of intellect, smart guy, but a blue collar approach, where Charles Krauthammer was very cerebral and subtle, sarcastic. But he always had this smile. He knew he was going up against Big Bill. And it was great TV.
Yeah, well, he was also much more deliberate, Charles, and Bill's kind of more rapid fire, right? Bill keeps running, and Charles will kind of slow things down. And, yeah, he got condescending at times.
He did, and it was fun to watch. It was just fun. And anyway, so I got bumped for that. And I got the email at 7:45 this morning, didn't read it until 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
But, sorry for promoting something that I'm not going to be...
That's fine. They still got show promotion out of it. I wouldn't speak for you, but for me, if I was in that spot, and let's say I'm doing Tino Savasio, Channel 5, or Scott Stanford, Channel 11, and some big-time athlete died. Some Yankee, God forbid, died, and they wanted Alex Rodriguez. I'd be okay with that. I mean, if you're going to get bumped...
It's the first Friday in summer.
Right.
I'm going home at 10 o'clock, man.
That's it?
And so, no, I'm cool. I'm very cool.
Yeah.
This is my bread and butter, right? Is what I like to do, is this 4 hours with you. That's just a little gravy, but to be able to go home, I'm a happy guy. I'm relieved, actually.
Yeah. Well, we're almost done. We got one more segment to go. Our very, very good friend, famed defense attorney, Arthur Idala, jet set last night to Germany, where tonight he's going to watch the Rolling Stones perform live in Berlin. And tomorrow, Germany is back on the field in Russia for World Cup soccer after their disappointing 1-0 loss to Mexico a couple days ago. We will talk to Arthur Idala live in Berlin, Germany, right after these short messages.
You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show. Sid, before you go to our esteemed guest from overseas, your friend Tom Arnold.
Yeah, my buddy.
He's apparently he's hooked up with Trump's former attorney, Michael Cohen. And he's putting on a show on the Vice Network that's going to incorporate a bunch of embarrassing video that the president participated in over the years to embarrass him. Anyway, Michael Cohen's teaming up with Tom Arnold on this project.
Aye, aye, aye. Michael Cohen has gone completely the other way, huh?
Tom Arnold told NBC News that that Michael Cohen says, "We're taking down Trump together."
Wow.
And the wife was sitting there during the conversation, according to Tom Arnold, and she said, "Okay, F Trump," Mrs. Cohen says.
Oh, my God.
This is, but here's the, it's all predicated on whether or not Trump did anything wrong.
Right, of course.
But I always knew this guy Cohen was
no good.
He was not a foxhole type of guy.
No. Scaramucci was with
scumbag.
Thank you. Scaramucci was with Tom Arnold earlier this week too. So Tom's been making the rounds. But you heard Gimme Shelter there, the Rolling Stones classic, because our buddy, he's here every other Friday, the best right there, famed defense attorney in the country. He is in Berlin, where tonight he will catch the Rolling Stones. Tomorrow, some World Cup soccer. It's our dear friend, Arthur Idala, hey. Live from Germany.
Wow.
What's up, guys? I wish I knew how to say something in German, but I only been here about 4 hours, so I don't have anything under my belt. Although I just watched Brazil just score a goal. I guess they're playing Croatia, and you know it's not. I mean, America is not in the World Cup, so really there's not a lot of action in New York about the World Cup.
Right,
Berlin,
right.
But it's well, and they're rocking and rolling.
Yeah, it's not Croatia. They actually just shut out Argentina yesterday. You're watching Nigeria play Iceland. How I know that, I don't know, but
no,
I do.
It's Brazil.
There you go. Oh. Right, right. But I know Germany was very disappointing in the first game. They got shut out by Mexico. They're in a must-win situation tomorrow, Arthur. Are people, is there like a fervor in the streets? Is it palpable?
Absolutely. I mean, Germany just, I mean, some people who don't even follow the World Cup, Germany is the favorite to win. They won 4 years ago. They're favorite to win this year. And to lose, that's all they're talking about here is Mexico, Mexico, Mexico. But whatever, be that as it may, two things I want to address with you real quick. Because how crazy is this? I'm sitting in a cafe in Berlin outdoors, listening to you guys on the app.
Yeah.
So I found out, unfortunately, about Charles Krauthammer. I knew he was very, very sick, but he was a very special man, and I did have the opportunity to meet him several times, and he was so special that I never knew that he was in a wheelchair until I actually met him. And then I got his whole backstory about how he was paralyzed as a medical student. Yeah. And he still graduated with his class on time. I mean, he was a very, very
amazing,
a very brilliant man. And he's a big loss to society.
Never complained about the hand that fate dealt him. Never complained about it one time. Didn't even want to talk about it.
No, and I heard you how you guys were comparing him to, you know, O'Reilly, and they were great together. I mean, usually when the big stories hit, O'Reilly, that was O'Reilly's go-to guest, you know, the number one talk show in the nation for, what was it, 15 years, and Krauthammer was his go-to guy. So, I mean, it's definitely a tremendous loss. So I'm sorry to hear about that. And look, Michael Cohen and Tom Arnold, all I'll tell you as an attorney who has a lot of his cases covered in the media, you know, don't believe everything you read about who's doing what and this and that. The newspaper's going to write as much as they can to sell as many papers as they can. So, you know, I'm just a little skeptical. I'm not sure if Michael Cohen is all of a sudden going to be an F Trump kind of guy, especially when Trump is throwing all of those signals out there, how he's pardoning everyone from Muhammad Ali to Jack Johnson and everybody in between.
That's a good point, Arthur Idala. That's right. Trump has that.
I think we got to wait and see on that one.
Yes, indeed. Now, listen. Arthur Idala is out in Berlin for the World Cup, which is kind of weird, but that's okay. Listen, Anthony Bourdain passed.
That's another tragedy.
Well, I was going to say he passed away, and the following Sunday, they aired a show that he did recently about Berlin being like the sex freak capital of Europe. All the libertines.
Well, actually, thank God my wife's home with the baby and not listening to this. But actually, Number one, I actually came here. The real motivation was the Rolling Stones, who are all in their 70s, and they're my favorite band. They added 8 shows just to, in Europe, and my law partners, Billy and Michael and Imran, we all were like, you know what, we're going to go see the Stones. You know, they're not going to play forever, right? I mean, these guys, Tom Petty died, David Bowie died, and we just made it a priority to come here. And it just so happens we planned it so that we're going to be here for the World Cup. And Germany's beautiful. I mean, Bernie, I'm in like their equivalent to Times Square. There's not one, I'm looking right now, there's not a piece of paper on the ground. There's some cigarette butts, but it's clean as a whistle. And
no, it's a beautiful. People say it's, in fact, we're going to go in September because there are 6 countries that you have to run the marathons in to get this ultimate marathon deal. Danielle's done Paris and London. The only two left, by the way, I think the others are Boston and New York, or Tokyo. We're going in February, and Berlin. We're going in September. So we can't wait to see what you're seeing today. Are you going to go check out some of the concentration camps when you're there? Honestly,
yeah. You know, we're going on a some sort of a World War II tour tomorrow. It's a half walking and half in a car. And, yeah, that's actually tomorrow. Then we're going to Hamburg. We're going to Dresden.
Wow.
And then back to Berlin. So, wow.
Very nice.
But I do miss you guys. And,
maybe
I'll be in Atlantic City next Friday to hang out with you.
Yeah, that would be
very
great.
Very cool. Yes. All right, Arthur, nice.
Hey, listen, Arthur.
And Sydney, I verified everything for July 10th. I was at the courthouse the other day, and everything's going to be fine with your wife. 10 o'clock, we got to be there around 9:15, and it'll all be good.
Oh, you know, that's cool, because I know you had a case you're working on. You may have been in court, and she's really excited.
No.
Okay, she's eternally grateful for this, too. We both love you. Thank you.
We're good to go. So on behalf of Arthur and Imran and Michael and Billy Santo, regards from Berlin. God bless America, God bless New York, and God bless Bernie and Sid.
Yeah, Arnie.
Enjoy. Clip it too.
Enjoy that little Farfik Nugent on the side. Auf Wiedersehen, my friend Arthur Idala.
All right, be good, guys. Thank you.
All right,
Love you.
Bernie and Sid show, we're coming right back.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Boy!
77 WABC and streaming at WABCradio.com.